Steve. Thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Friday, the best day ever invented. My name's Bill Left. That's Wendy Snyder. We're here to entertain and enlighten you.
Hopefully, that's the goal.
I don't see it happening today, I'll be honest.
Why did you mouth the words to happy birthday? That's such... That's...
All right, I've been busted out on that. I've, for the last 3.5 to 4 decades, when it's time to sing happy birthday to somebody, I don't sing it. I just move my lips as though I'm singing it. And you're the first person to pick up on the fact that I'm not really singing it.
How could nobody notice?
I don't know. I don't think anyone did until you pointed it out. But I don't sing real well, and
yes,
I don't want to ruin
do.
Anybody's birthday.
Have you heard your Jake Arrieta song?
Well, that's a classic. That's a chart topper.
Especially the first 10 minutes of it.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Major League Baseball won't play it because they said they're trying to shorten the games. They were going to play it for one of the starts, and they're like, oh, the games are only going 3 hours. We can't play it.
How's your buddy Jake Arrieta doing?
He's having an incredible season.
Can we play a little of it?
No,
no. People have been requesting it. We don't have to play the whole thing, but, Bill, you did a great job with
you're
it.
You're very nice.
And I'll tell you why no one noticed for 3.5 decades that you weren't singing.
Why?
Because you weren't on a microphone. Well, I noticed in my headphones I wasn't hearing your dulcet tones.
I don't have a good singing voice,
yes,
so anytime I'm at anybody's birthday party and everybody's singing happy birthday to you, I just move my lips and smile a lot, which is what I do on the show, too, I'll be honest with you. That's what I've made a career out of doing.
Come on, listen to this voice.
Oh, come on. Oh, Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta, Arrieta, he's my favorite Cub. Almost pitched a perfect game, destined for the Hall of Fame. Freeze the frame, shout his name. Perfect game, Hall of Fame. Oh.
4 hours later.
All right, that proves it. I'm no Kevin
Federline.
We move
to further action in the same series of
right,
play.
Right.
It's so awesome. Still going. And happy birthday. Nobody cares how well you sing. They just want you to sing. Dave Bennett feels like he was ripped off.
Somewhere, though, in the back of my head, I always envision the person whose birthday it is thinking back to that birthday going, yeah, it was going so great, and then they sang happy birthday, and then Bill tried to sing the song, and he ruined it. I know that probably wouldn't happen often, but I don't want to take a chance.
You're too hard on yourself.
I've gotten away with it. You were the first person to just go, hey.
I'm sorry.
We're all singing but you. I would say I've gotten away with it 500 straight times without anybody calling attention to it.
But again, you weren't on a microphone.
I'm trained
to hear stuff through my headphones,
that's
and
true.
I didn't hear your voice.
That's true. Now, can I wanted to say this. You do something that I don't think I've ever, of all the people I've ever met, they don't do. And I think this is adorable. You get tired for things before they've even happened.
Oh, I have anticipatory anxiety. I now know what it is. There's a name for it. I hate things hanging over my head.
But you were telling me, and you've done this before, you were telling me about things you have coming up this weekend, and you use this phrase, and I think this tips it off. I'm already tired for Saturday. And then you told me what you have going on Saturday, and it's some stuff, but it's not the kind of stuff that would drain a person.
Oh, no, it's fun.
Right, but you said, I'm already tired for this. It hadn't even happened yet, but you're already tired by it.
I get anxious about being late,
yeah.
Which is weird because I'm late all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I right. have a lot of anxiety, and I...
But you know how to fix that, right?
Get up earlier?
Leave 20 minutes earlier. You could do that.
I'm able to now that the kids are out of school. I got to tell you, it's been great. Because everybody's still sleeping.
Right,
I have the
right.
house to myself.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is the 70th LaGrange Pet Parade. Now, I grew up in Brookfield, and we would go to LaGrange to watch the pet parade. It started with just a few kids parading their pets down LaGrange Road in the western suburb.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden... it became 70 years later, and it is the Jesse White Tumblers come there. Ronald McDonald is there. There are numerous
marching bands.
The real
Ronald McDonald or just a guy dressed like Ronald McDonald?
He's in a big shoe truck.
All right. Maybe it's the real one.
And it's just an exciting day, and I am one of the many grand marshals.
Who else? You and who else?
I don't really know. I don't want to know. I'm just focusing on the prize.
Are you pretending that you are the Grand Marshal and the other ones are just there as cover? What are you pretending?
No, last year I was invited to be in it, and it was the 69th year, and I was kind of bummed because it's like, well, I want the big celebration in the 70th year. So I was telling everybody, oh, yeah, I'm the Grand Marshal. And then Drew Walker from US 99 was
very
there.
Nice
I said,
guy.
What are you doing here? He goes, I'm a Grand Marshal.
Oh.
Is he there this year, too? Because I love Drew.
I'll Isn't he great? There. I'll go with you, Steve.
That'd be good to see.
I would love
but
to see
we were
Drew.
Just honorary Grand Marshals. There was a young girl who was the Grand Marshal, and I tried to take her down.
Why did she? Why did she get that designation?
I don't remember.
She now has Grand Marshal anxiety.
But so I have to be there at 8:30, which is early for me on a weekend.
Right.
It is. I like to sleep in.
Right.
And I have to look okay, and I have to get my wave down pat, and then the LaGrange Pet Parade kicks off at 9:30.
Which wave are you going with? What are you going to do?
Just the typical, hey, what's up? Do the peace sign every once in a while, the middle finger,
wave.
Just for fun.
That's fun.
And I'd like to bring my dog Tiki. This is the one parade he could participate in.
Sure, it's a pet parade.
He could sit in the convertible with me, but he is a freak. He just makes chimp noises and cries and wants to run around, and it's like I can't.
That's not good.
I know.
For a pet parade. All right.
And then we're having a family graduation party in 2 weeks, and there
are you already tired for that one?
No, but there are several musicians in the family, like real musicians, not me, a poser.
Yeah.
And then there are some posers like me.
Yeah.
So we're all gonna do a set.
Uh-huh.
So they're having rehearsal from 9 to noon on Sunday, and that's after the pet parade party and stuff. I'm just exhausted.
But the way it usually plays out is you do the things that would make you tired, and then you get tired, but you're pre-tired.
Yeah, because it's just too much on my plate. I really freak out about it. I like sometimes a weekend where I don't have anything. The pet parade is fun. I can't wait.
Sure. Steve?
I was going to say, can I tell you something about yourself, Wendy? So when you're at this practice Sunday, you're going to have a great time, right?
Yeah.
You will.
Right? But you're dreading it?
I'm not dreading it.
Because I do the same thing.
It's not.
You
I'm
do
not
too?
I absolutely do. I'm like, oh, I got to do this. And then when I get there, I'm like, this is great. Why do I not want to do this?
It's I am a spur of the moment kind of girl. That's
right.
How I've run my life.
Yeah.
That's how I work every day.
Sure.
When I have something that is planned, I mean, what if I die and I can't go? What if I break my leg?
You don't have to worry about it anymore.
And I can't, and I disappoint people. I don't like having things scheduled.
Right.
I like to be in the moment.
Right, right.
That's a little ADHD, though, too.
So, a little, yeah.
It just makes me nervous. I don't dread it. I just, oh, my God, I got to be there. I hope I'm not late. Oh, God, what if it rains? It's supposed to rain tomorrow on my parade. Not my only
Literally,
parade.
Literally, yeah. Right.
So, I have to have something to get stressed about. Do you realize that? That keeps me going, Bill.
It's just fun watching the wheels spin as you figure out.
As the wheels come off?
Right, as the wheels fall off the cart. And you're just
the crazy train.
I haven't experienced these things yet, but I know I'll be tired by them. It's just fun to watch.
But, Steve, that's interesting to know you're like that, too. It's not really dread, is it, when you have something you do a lot of speaking engagements?
Oh, yeah.
It's not dread, but it's just, it's
what is it?
Anticipatory anxiety.
It's like my idea is I can't wait to get this over.
Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
Come down to that? Yeah.
Oh, because when I'm there, I don't want it to end.
See, now I'm almost the opposite in that I love looking forward to things. Like I always know what's coming up in a day or a week or a month or a year.
I hate that.
Really?
It makes me nervous. Huh. I've seen it happen with you on numerous occasions. A guest will come in or someone here at the station and they say, oh, we should do lunch. And you get your little date book out.
Yeah,
and you're
let's
like,
figure
okay,
it
when?
Out. Let's
like,
get it
oh
going.
Oh, my God. You have to do that now?
Yeah. I said to Kevin before the show, I go, Kevin, in a day, we're a month removed from the 4th of July. And I was all excited, and he and I had a sparkler. We each held a sparkler up just because it's a month away, a month and a day away. It was exciting.
Patriots.
So, you know, Wendy, probably a year or so ago, I made the mistake of talking to Bill and said, yeah, we'll have to get together for dinner sometime.
And he wanted you to pinpoint
the
date right then.
We booked it right then and there.
No, we didn't because I'm the sort of guy who says, yeah, we'll do that one day. And then Bill kept saying, hey, what's going on? What are we doing? I had no idea I was offending him.
Well, it's not offending. It's just, you know how throughout your life, so many people go, hey, we should do this one day. We should do that one day. I'm a believer, and if you say it, you play it.
That's weird.
I like Steve, believe it at the time.
Right.
It's just the execution.
Sounds like
a
good idea.
Yeah.
But then at some point, you're laying on a bed with a respirator going, oh, that. Well, you know what I forgot to do in my life is have dinner with Steve and his wife.
And that would have saved you?
No.
You wouldn't be on a respirator what?
No, but I could cash out with no regrets. I could go. I could do all the things I always wanted to do.
And
he's
see,
the
I
one.
Would be in the bed with a respirator saying, finally, I don't have to go to that dinner. I've got a respirator.
And I'd say, why am I in a bed with Steve? It's the end of our lives. Why are we? This is ridiculous.
You know why? Because you'd get a better rate.
Oh, there's that. You save some money. All right, a quick break. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. It's the Friday edition of our show. Part one. We'll probably do another show later on in the day for you. Our number is 312-981-7200. If you want to call us or text us, that's your best move.
And Susan Breen called. Her dad is the one who originated the LaGrange Pet Parade 70 years ago. He wanted to put LaGrange on the map.
Yeah.
So he just, you know, got the help of some kids. Here, walk down the street with your pets. And it was just several kids. And now, seriously, it's a really long parade. And she called to say it's not supposed to rain till after the parade.
Now, does this ease some of the tension? You were feeling some anxiety, some tension about the parade tomorrow. But now that you know the rain should cooperate, you don't feel any better?
Quite honestly, there's a pet parade party at one of my friend's house in the neighborhood, and it is a very great excuse for every parent in LaGrange to get really drunk.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of a little anxious about that, too.
Good anxious or bad anxious? You looking forward to that part of it?
Yeah,
that's
my son
after
Michael's
the parade,
playing.
You said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two bands, but it's supposed to rain then. It's going to rain on the parade and the pet parade party. I just, you know, somebody just texted and said, no wonder my dog's crazy. I know.
Who would have done that? Who?
How do you text and act like you're not?
Well, you know it's not me. I can't text and talk at the same time. It's somebody else.
Can you text and do anything at the same time?
No, I need to devote all my time to that. But, you know, let's say it does rain. It's so out of your control.
I know.
You know, you can't just focus on something like that.
Bill, I know this stuff on paper.
Right.
Tell my brain that.
Right.
In fact, if you go to WGN Plus, there are numerous podcasts up there. And Dr. John Duffy, who's on our show, clinical psychologist, author of The Available Parent, I listened to his first podcast yesterday. It's really great. And the kid he interviewed had some stress about going away to college for the first time. And it's just so interesting listening to it because maybe that's not a problem you're experiencing, but it lets me know that I have other issues going on.
Sure.
So I'm a hypochondriac for... Well, a hypochondriac is for germs and stuff. What is it for, like, mental issues?
I think you're...
Hypopsychotic?
I hate to throw the psychotic part in. I'll nod politely if you say it, but I wouldn't say it.
I just think, you know, I hear stuff and it's like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense.
A lifecochondriac, could you be that? Is there a thing like that? Is it just life that's doing it to you? It's not medical. It's just whatever's happening. You're a little nervous about.
Well, anxiety is.
Yeah.
That's
legit.
I just have to take a deep breath.
You'll be fine.
You've got the full Woody Allen going.
That's what it is. Full Metal Woody Allen.
Yeah, I like that. But it's not. Thank God, it's not like broadcast news.
With the sweat.
With the flop sweat.
You don't need that. Nobody needs that. All right, we'll take a break. Steve has the news, and then we have all kinds of things on today's show. It should be a good one. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Nothing like a...
I want to put your mind at ease, Wendy. I know from time to time you wonder if you are or are not one of the better parents out there.
I'm starting to feel more confident about that. My kid did not fall into a gorilla pit.
That's a huge plus. That's a gigantic plus. There's a story that has been going on in Tokyo, and this is insane. The parents of this kid, they wanted to teach him a lesson.
That's what parents do, Bill. That's the whole parent's job.
Oh, I know that part of it. He had a propensity for throwing rocks, and that, you know, no matter where you are on the globe, Wendy, that's unacceptable behavior. You can't just be throwing rocks at people and things. That's not going to work.
Especially if you live in a glass house.
They say that you shouldn't do that. All right, so what would be a good punishment if you had a child with a love of throwing rocks at things? How would you best punish this child?
I would make them stand in front of the shed and whip rocks at him.
You would teach him by saying, if you like throwing rocks, how does this feel? And you would whip rocks at your child.
Yes, you know I'm kidding, because somebody believes that I would do that. I would try to explain to him, it's not cool.
You could put an eye out with a rock.
You could get injured.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
It's not respectful of other people.
All true.
It hurts.
Right. There's no good side to throwing rocks at things.
Unless someone's attacking you.
Then you can throw a rock at them.
Rocks were meant to skip on the top of a river.
That's so true. That's the reason they invented rocks. All right. Well, these parents in Tokyo, the Tanukas of Tokyo, the way they handled it is they brought their son out to a forest and they released him into the forest and then they drove away.
Okay. First of all, how does that correlate to throwing rocks?
Because there's bears in the forest there.
That throw rocks?
No.
You try to keep the consequence related to what right. the issue was.
Right.
This kid was not starting campfires in the forest.
No, he was throwing rocks, and the Tanukas felt that the best way to teach their young son Yamato a lesson was to drive him out into a bear-infested forest and leave him there, and that's where he remained for many, many days.
Days?
Yes.
Okay, yes. If they still have possession of this child, something's wrong with this world.
Here's the story. I honestly... This story, I wanted to do this story earlier in the week, but I thought this story could end horribly wrong. They could find this kid dead at some point in the forest.
So you waited for the outcome.
I wanted them to find this kid before we did the story because I didn't want it to end ugly. Nearly a week after he was abandoned in the forest by his parents, nearly a week.
Did they give him a backpack with food in it?
It doesn't say that.
Because that's really cold.
I would hope they did.
You need a blanket and some food.
Right.
Some Franks and beans and a can opener.
At least. At the very least. Nearly a week after he was abandoned in the forest by his parents, the boy, Yamato Tanuka, did not shed a tear when he was found safe on Friday.
No, but he killed his parents.
It doesn't say that.
No, you but wouldn't that. You be mad? And if
oh,
he's
for
not
the rest
crying,
of my life.
Yeah. If he wasn't crying, he was plotting.
For the rest of my life. Like, no matter what would happen in the future, I would say at some point, I'd say to my parents, hey, remember that one time you dropped me off in the middle of the bear-infested forest? Remember that?
And didn't come back for a week?
For a week?
I hate you.
Right.
How old is he? I'm sorry.
He's 7.
All right, well.
Oh, then it's okay. Right.
No, but
I thought
we
were talking about a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old.
I did. It's still, I can't believe these parents would still have
custody
of
him. The soldier who discovered young Yamato Tanuka by chance in a military hut gave him 2 rice balls, which 7-year-old Yamato ate ravenously.
Well,
I
sure.
I could see that. I would eat them ravenously. And then I would say, do you have more rice balls? Because I've been in the forest for 5 days and I would like more.
And this is all I've been in the forest for 7 days and all I got was these lousy two rice balls.
Come on. He looked a bit worn out.
Yeah.
But he was Genki, G-E-N-K-I. This
what?
According to the military. That it explains. That's the Japanese word for describing healthy children. That is the word Genki, G-E-N-K-I. The boy's safe return. I don't know why this is in the story.
That's going to catch
That's
on.
Weird. I know.
Before you know it, we're all going to be talking Genki.
Steve, how are your children?
Oh, they're Genki, Bill. Genki. Thanks for asking.
It's in the Urban Dictionary.
Genki.
It's a popular word.
In Japan.
Yeah, fanboy Japanese, meaning enthusiastic, energetic, lively.
Yep.
Genki. I am never Genki.
Make that your New Year's resolution.
All right,
To be more Genki in 2017. The boy's safe return was welcomed in a nation riveted by his disappearance by everyone but 2 people. And he was undergoing intense soul searching.
That's deep for
Yamato,
a 7-year-old.
I think so too. Well, the Japanese culture, Wendy. Yeah, Yamato's story, as pieced together from comments from the military and police, was admirable and resourceful and resilient. His parents were trying to teach him a lesson for misbehaving and throwing rocks.
But it does not correlate.
I don't think so. This would make me throw rocks more often because I'd be angry.
Yeah, but I'd wait for him to be asleep and I'd make it a big rock.
Right.
A boulder.
A huge
Genki.
Rock.
Genki.
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 All right. Just wanted to make sure.
The password is Genki. That was a clip from the Japanese Genki. Version of Password.
Sorry it's so fuzzy.
That's please. It's the other side of the globe.
A lot of Genki is fuzzy.
Right, right. Sadly true. So true.
Yeah, you're right. That would make you want to throw a rock. I mean, that lesson was not taught. There was no consequence to the rock throwing situation.
I don't think so.
There's no rhyme or reason to why they did that.
No. Think about the thought process of the parents. I don't know if you and Jim do this, but from time to time, if my daughters had done something wrong, the two of us would discuss, well, they did this. They said they'd be back by 10, and now it's 11 o'clock. What do we do to say to them, you can't do this anymore? And my wife has never once said, let's drive them to a bear-infested forest and leave them there for a week.
Not once?
All right, one time she said that. One time she said that, and I'm like, I don't think there are bear-infested forests in Evanston. Maybe there's one. I don't know.
But see, that's when you make them come home an hour early the next time to show.
That's the right punishment.
But that's a consequence for the actual event. Like, rock throwing has no correlation to leaving a kid in a forest.
Nope.
And for 7 days?
For nearly a week. Nearly a week. His parents, Yamato's parents, trying to teach him a lesson about throwing rocks, made him get out of the car last Saturday in the northernmost main island of Hokkaido in a forest that is ridden with bears. Now, did they choose this forest because it's ridden with bears? Did they say,
yeah,
there are other forests, but I don't think that will teach Yamato a lesson. Let's go to the one in Hokkaido that's got all the bears.
They Googled it.
That's terrible.
Which one has the most bears?
Hokkaido Forest has the most bears. They couldn't find him when they returned several minutes later.
Because he was hiding with a giant rock in his hand.
Well, that'd be the time to have rocks if there's bears.
So it's completely
against... This is
against
a bad punishment.
Yeah.
It's a terrible punishment. Apparently, walking for several kilometers, the boy found an empty hut in a military drill area and entered a door that had been left open. Again, I want to reiterate, this kid is 7 years old. The longhouse-style hut had no heat or power. It had no food. But Yamato huddled between mattresses on the floor, and he drank water from the military faucet outside the hut for several days. The Associated Press said that Takeyuki Tanuka, that's the father of the 7-year-old Japanese boy who went missing nearly a week ago, bows in front of the media after his son was found. The boy had been missing since Saturday. He was found unharmed on Friday, so that's 6 days, in a case that had set off a nationwide debate about parental disciplining. What was the debate? Were there people in Japan going, no, I can see where this would be a good thing? I don't understand how this could be a debate.
Someone wants to clarify the story, because I don't know if you mentioned this, but this might be an important part of it. Hi, Jamie.
Oh, hi. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
We're good. Was there something we're leaving out?
No, I think you just clarified
it. Jamie, there is a part I'm leaving out. His parents are also bears.
That would be funny. But they were, what I heard from the Japanese news, the family happens to be in the forest picnicking or like picking mushrooms or whatever. And then this kid would not stop throwing rocks. So I don't know if it was father's idea or the both parents agreed. They just decided to discipline him, just leaving him supposedly on the street for 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes.
That was their goal initially, but then he wandered off.
Right.
Right.
I didn't
right.
know. I thought they just dropped him off and then, flew away.
Oh.
But that's.
I guess that's not what happened. But I think, people maybe start speculating. Well, maybe they just actually wanted to harm him.
But don't you think,
way.
Jamie, even though this wasn't the parents' initial intention to leave him roaming in a bear-infested forest for 6 days, much like the story with the kid at the zoo in Cincinnati, doesn't a parent have to, in their head, register whatever the worst-case scenario is? Don't you have to play that out in your head and go,
though
we think it's going to be 5 minutes, it could
be... But look, he wandered,
Right.
Now, you've been to Japan. Were you born there?
I am from there. I was born and raised in Japan.
Okay, so do you know about the forests that are heavy with bears?
No, I've never been there, and then I'm seeing the picture, and I wouldn't leave my kid in there, or I hope my parents wouldn't have done the same thing. Although I have to say, when I was sixth grade, my mother was so fed up with me. I had my school uniform, and I've been standing in front of the house forever because she was upset about something I did or didn't do. And 10 o'clock at night, she told me to get out, and I had to leave the house.
Oh, my God. How old were you?
I was sixth grade, so what is that, 12?
Yeah, probably around that.
And I had my school uniform, and standing across from my house, there's a car passing by, but nobody stopped. Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
Where'd you go, and how long were you gone?
Now I was just standing there, and like, okay, well, should I actually walk away, or should I ask for mercy and right. apologize to my mother.
Right.
And I think that was her whole point of, you know, my mother, that I didn't apologize. And then finally, I think she was checking. It's not like she just left me there.
Oh, she was probably spying out on the out the window.
She was just checking. And then she said, well, what kind of child are you? You know, normally child would cry and scream, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And you just stood there.
Oh, man.
You're a strong woman, wow. Jamie.
Yeah, as a 12-year-old, I was like, okay, so your point is?
Yeah. That's awesome. And your relationship after that was okay? You didn't throw a rock at her?
No, then she would leave me in the forest, though.
Oh.
Well, thanks for clarifying that, because I just thought they dropped him off and left.
No, it wasn't their intention for them to be there for six
days.
But
he wandered, like a 7-year-old would do.
Yeah.
Right, they just couldn't find him.
Right. All right, well, Jamie, thank you. We appreciate it.
Well,
have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, bye. All right.
What a great story.
There's more to the story if you want to hear more. It's a horrible, horrible story. The Tanukas of Japan who decided to leave their young son out in a bear-infested forest. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. We are exploring a horrendous story that took place in Japan as a couple, the Tanukas, decided to teach their 7-year-old son Yamato a lesson. Yamato Tanuka, as many of you know, has a love of throwing rocks at things. It's just the way he is, Wendy. You can't blame anybody or anything. It's just in him to throw rocks at things. So his parents decided to teach him a lesson. They would drop him off in a bear-infested forest. Now, we need to clarify, because several people have texted and called in, it was never their intention for him to be there for 6 days. But when they dropped him off in the bear-infested forest, you know how he is. He wandered off. And I said to you, the best story could have been, should have been, for a bear to come at him, and he had a rock, and then he throws the rock at the bear and lives off the bear for his 6 days in the forest. That would have been the happy ending we were looking for.
But not a good lesson taught.
Not a good lesson taught, though. Yeah.
Didn't you throw rocks? I remember they were tearing down a building in our neighborhood, and it was the best fun going there with a handful of rocks and breaking all the windows. We were told we could do it.
Oh, you really?
Yeah, because they were going to tear down the building.
Right.
I don't know who told us. Somebody's mom, but we all did it.
Right. I don't remember throwing rocks at windows or buildings, but yeah, every once in a while you'd be somewhere and there'd be rocks. That's
what they're there
for. You're supposed to throw them at stuff.
But not at people.
Never at people. Never.
All right. Well,
I wonder how their summer camp, the Tanuka's summer camp, will go. I bet this ruins business for their summer camp. Where the Young Explorers Club.
Somebody texted, never trust a Tanuka.
Well, yeah. How about Judy Tanuka? We can trust her, can't we?
How would you punish her? She won't put down the accordion.
No, that's true. That's true.
Do you subject her to accordion music?
No, I wouldn't do that.
And then she'll go, okay, you win. I'll put it down.
Right. Maybe.
All right. Well, Rick, you did not throw rocks, but you had another kid problem, didn't you have?
Yeah. Hi, guys. When I was in grade school, in Catholic grade school to be specific, some buddies and I were busted for making spitballs. So after we got caught, our Catholic nun teacher actually made us stay after school and fill a brown paper bag of nothing but spitballs.
Really?
That's great punishment.
So that's probably thousands of spitballs, right?
Honestly, well, it was one like a lunch bag, so it was a smaller one, not like a grocery one.
Still spitballs are tiny.
They're very small.
Yeah, so after a while of running out of spit, I mean, we just looked at each other like, what are we going to do? Because, you know, we just kept on making spitballs, and I kid you not, I'm 42 now. I have not made a spitball for the rest of my life.
See, that's an effective punishment then. She knew what she was doing.
It was totally an effective punishment.
All right, the punishment should fit the crime, for sure.
Right.
Totally.
It should.
Yeah.
Rick, remind me now, because it's been a couple years since I've made or shot one. The straw, was that a handmade straw, or did you use a regular straw?
No, we just used one from the cafeteria.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll work better.
But yeah, after a while, trust me, I've never touched a spitball ever again, ever.
So let me ask you, that is such a fantastic consequence to the spitball issue. What would you do if you had a kid that was throwing rocks? Can you think of a perfect consequence to teach him not to do it? You know what I mean? It's not leaving them in the woods.
You want it to register in their heads that, like with you, you like spitballs so much, I'll burn that out of you. No more spitballs. And it worked.
True. I don't know. Maybe, go around and collect, bags and bags of rocks or something. Just do the opposite. Instead of throwing them, collect them and then just,
give them to the needy, to the rockless.
Or pick a target and just have them sit there for hours and just hit the
target. Oh, yeah, see? Yeah. Till their arm burns out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh, that's good.
All right, you'd be a good parent. Are you a parent?
No, I'm not. Not yet.
All right. Well, someday you should, and no spitballs.
No, never, ever, ever.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
He's still traumatized. You could tell in his voice.
But see, that's genius. That is like...
Right, that one paid off. That was a good punishment.
And you know, like I used to swear when I was little. I don't anymore.
No, not anymore.
And so my mom would make me write the word like 500 times.
She would make you write the swear word 500 times?
Yeah.
See, because I think that works the opposite. Wouldn't that just put it in your brain more?
No, all that happened was my arm got tired and I found a new word to say.
Happy end. It had a happy ending. All right, we'll take a break. Steve has the news. And then Kurt Wagner, a TV critic who was actually raised in a forest by bears. So this balances out nicely. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, great job. That was fantastic. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Kurt Wagner's here. Kurt has a great website, TVshowpatrol.com. Your one-stop headquarters if you enjoy television. Hello, Kurt. How are you?
Hello.
Nice to see you. Kurt, some statistics that you brought in are very alarming if you're a fan of the television. In the season, in the TV season that was 2015 through 2016, more than 230 characters that were on episodes of at least three times or more throughout the run of a show, so either regular characters or fairly regular characters, perished. They died throughout the season. Right. 230 of them. That seems like an awfully high number.
Yeah, in one season.
Wow.
Vox.com, V-O-X.com, did this deep dive where they have this really cool graphic that shows like what each person was for each show, the numbers, the ethnicities, you know, male, female,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. And then they show their parameters, which had, you know, which the biggest parameter there was that they had to be in at least three episodes. Because if you counted...
So that's to establish
the fact... If you counted the incidental people, it
into
would
the
be
thousands.
Impossible to count. So they did that, and then this week, another one of their writers did a story about, you know, basically why. Why is death such a big... Why is killing off characters such a big deal on TV now?
Yeah.
And he sort of traces it back to the Game of Thrones first season death. You've seen the first season, right? Yeah.
Kevin saw it.
Kevin's the only one who watches it here.
Spoiler alert if you haven't started, of a major player that nobody... Should I say the name?
No. Okay. Don't say it.
Because people are going to binge it this summer, I bet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, somebody dies in the first
episode. A major
episode.
Character
yeah.
dies.
And okay. so he traces it sort of back to that, and that was like a huge, shocking thing. You know, it was like one of the first
You know, I remember
big,
back
shocking things.
When we were all kids... When a character died on a show, more times than not, you had no idea it was coming. There's very few. I have to be ridiculous with spoiler alerts, but on Hill Street Blues, one of the cops on Hill Street Blues, you had no idea this character was going to die, and then
because there was no internet to leak it,
right?
That's
and
it.
That's the reason that I think
that's, it.
That's the reason that shows do it more often because it's like a. To get the buzz. It's
right.
like buzzworthy thing. But the second story that Vox did, he sort of talks about how Todd Vanderwoof wrote it. And he sort of talks about how there's a lot of really bad deaths on TV now.
Bad in what way?
In that they're not done well.
Like violent?
Well,
or
they're not done well as in they don't. It's not
dramatic.
A good, it's not a good payoff. It doesn't make sense necessarily. It just feels
like someone slips on a banana peel and hits
well,
their head and dies.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense for the character or the story. It doesn't move the story forward in a way. Like this first Game of Thrones death really did move the story. I mean, it was the whole linchpin for the rest of the series. It made sense in that way. There's been some this season that haven't done that. It was just like, oh, we need to get some buzz, or we need to, you know, we need to get people talking about it and get people on the show. And it generally feels that way.
Right.
You know, that it's not a smart
right.
death, right. if you want to say it that
now,
way.
There's a handful of shows that you know on a weekly basis. On Walking Dead, pretty much every week, not every week, but almost every week, a character dies.
Right.
Right.
But it's not every week that a major character
right.
dies. So,
right.
So when a major character dies on that show, when it's somebody who becomes beloved, you really have to have a good reason. You know, it has to make sense sort of in the world of the show. It has to.
But killing off a major character or characters, that creates a buzz around the series. People talk about it the next day and the next week, and that translates hopefully into more viewers. Right?
Well, and they always say even bad publicity is good publicity. So sure. even if people are angry about it, you know, maybe somebody will go, oh my gosh, look at all this
yeah.
chatter about somebody dying, and maybe I should check the show out.
I am shocked that there has not been a spoiler for the Walking Dead finale where Negan and his bat Lucille took someone out.
There is, actually.
Well, I've seen so many, like, people have slowed down the video and they explain which angle Negan was when he swung the bat, and they've slowed it down and put, like, you could hear a scream and you can hear and figure out right. who it is. But now I also read that all the actors filmed their specific shot alone, so they don't know who died. Is that true?
It could be. I don't know. I've seen so many theories about that possible.
Does it say in this report which shows are most likely and least likely to have deaths of characters? It doesn't say
no,
that.
No, it doesn't really say that, but it does break down all the shows. I mean, the graphic that they did is pretty amazing because they also broke down how people died. Like, so there's a separate graphic that shows most of the deaths were gun related.
Gun related, sure.
The knives.
Yeah.
And, you know, it breaks it down. Suicide.
It's like Clue. Candlestick. A lot of candlestick related.
And Colonel Mustard.
Yeah. And they do. They have little icons for the whole thing to go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it's pretty amazing. And that just seems like so much work. And the woman who did the graphic story with all the numbers and everything, she talked about, well, at first I was going to do this, but then I realized that would take me forever. I didn't have the time to do all that stuff.
Right.
So then I decided they had to be in at least three episodes. So they had to sort of be at least recurring.
Well, that makes sense because you want to build up some investment right. in the character. You don't just
right.
like,
I mean, the incidentals, like, what did they always used to say? If you wore a red shirt on Star Trek,
you're
you knew
gone.
That person was gone.
What?
And you
really?
Never actually necessarily, yeah. even in one episode, you might learn their name, but
because there would always be on the original Star Trek, there'd be an away team. So you'd always get Kirk and Spock and McCoy, and they're not going to kill off Kirk and Spock and McCoy. But then there'd be some young, dashing officer.
So if you meet somebody new,
the ship,
that you learn their name.
Shirt,
yeah.
Really?
And
I
go,
never knew that.
So if you learn their name and they had a red shirt, it was pretty, yeah. you pretty much knew. They're not going to make it to
He's
the
done.
End of the episode.
So it's not just a token kill off, but you'd know their name for at least an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the end of
That's
the episode,
awesome.
They're usually gone.
How come I didn't know that?
Which is pretty right. hilarious. But yeah. now, you know, nowadays it's, you know, they do major characters now that you just don't expect, but that's the reason they're doing it. But it's interesting. It's an interesting look at, you know, and the second story that he talked to showrunners about how they feel about
the impact
other
of it
shows
all.
Doing it and why they do it and stuff like that. And, you know, I think one of them actually admitted, well, sometimes it's just because we need to shake things
right.
up, you know, or whatever, and but a lot of them did say there's a lot of bad TV deaths.
You know, one of the most effective of all time, and I hate to say spoiler alert because it's been 30 years, but on McLean Stevenson's last show on MASH, they get him a helicopter and he's out of there, he's leaving, everything's fine, and then at the very end of the episode they come in and they report, Gary Berghoff, Radar comes in and reports that the helicopter has crashed and that he had died. And I remember the look on the actors' faces and thinking, wow, is this great? And then years later, I read that they didn't tell the rest of the cast. They had one more scene to shoot, and the script was almost blank. It was just that they were going to be all together in this tent. Gary Berghoff knew because they told him.
Right, because he had to deliver the line.
Yeah, it was his line. But you see the look on all the other actors' faces as they realize, even though they're in on it, they know it's fictional. But just the shock of
a true reaction
wow,
is what
yeah.
they
well, and it's a reaction that, you know, our co-actor is gone.
Yeah.
That was before VCRs, and my cousin Susie had some teaching thing going on that night and was going to miss the last episode of MASH. Mm-hmm. So I took my little Panasonic, it was like bright yellow tape recorder, and I held it
Recorded
up to
it?
The TV and played it for her.
Yeah.
And it worked because it was so dramatic
yeah.
when Radar read the message.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a yeah. great finale.
Well, that one was not the finale.
Oh, you're right. You're
that
right.
That was his
right.
last episode, but it went on for years after.
And that, you know, that was probably unheard of at the time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the other thing about the second story that I was referring to on Vox is that, you know, he talks about how it's desensitized people to
real death. Or to television deaths.
To television deaths, but, yeah. you know, they don't really go into the real deaths, but, you know. But there's plenty of real deaths.
If there's a character you don't see coming, there have been several over the last couple of years that you go, well, they wouldn't kill that guy off. They wouldn't kill that girl off. And then they do. It does. It kind of lays on you for a while. Like, yeah. Oh, that's not good.
Well, I mean, and if it's someone who's a fan favorite or a beloved, I mean, imagine if Daryl is the one who gets killed off on The Walking Dead.
Well,
it would be so crazy. But if his death didn't mean something, like in the overall scope of next season, you know, like if there wasn't a payoff for that besides
just to kill, but
to
see,
get
now,
buzz,
he then, has his own spinoff show, so that made me think that right away. But you can have a spinoff show. This is just him riding his bike.
Right.
Yeah. It's yeah.
And that's a limited.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
so he could do
what
both.
Is it, 6 or 8 episodes?
Yeah,
I
that's
think?
It.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so nice to look at. But I can't understand him. He's getting worse.
There's a little mumble factor to it.
Was he at Walker Stalker Con when you went?
I did not go.
Oh.
I did not go.
His speech had to have closed captioning underneath it because he mumbles so much.
Yeah. What is this? I can't read.
Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. A break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here, TVShowPatrol.com. Now, Kurt, I already alerted you to this, and this made me very excited, and I'm not sure why, but over on Netflix, there was a show on PBS for years and years and years and years. The show is called The Joy of Painting. Did you ever happen on this show? You can't stop watching that.
Is this the guy with the hair?
With the big afro, right.
My kids turned me on
and
to
doesn't
this.
He have a, does he have a goatee or a full beard?
Bob Ross. I don't
remember.
It's a
billy goat. It's
yeah,
long.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Bob Ross was his name. Now, I say was because, sadly, Mr. Ross passed away a couple of years ago. However, that show, The Joy of Painting, which was on PBS for 11 years, and I'd watch all 11 years of it, too.
Well, that's why it was weird when my kids were watching it, because I used to, it was on Channel 11,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I used to watch it growing up, because right. it was amazing what he could do with just like a tongue depressor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wouldn't even use a paint.
Thrilled that it was about painting.
But he'd use it to move the paint,
right.
and it's like, you see it happen. It is magical.
Sometimes he would do something on a canvas, and I'd say, oh, poor Bob Ross. This is not going to turn out to look well. Like, he'd explain to you, he'd go, you put a little yellow here and some orange and you dribble the blue and you go, oh, that's not even going to be anything. And then he would take that tongue depressor or like a pizza cutter
yeah.
or a toothpick. And then all of a sudden it was the Taj Mahal and you go, this guy's a genius.
It's pretty great
to
watch.
So good.
And he wasn't he very mellow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Never got rattled and made you believe, even though he was a first class artist, made you believe
that
you could
do
that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, one of the stars of that show, Sense8, that I talk about
yeah.
that's on Netflix,
yeah.
Brian J. Smith just tweeted the other day that he was going to study his lines, but now Bob Ross is on Netflix. So
that's because
he
thing.
Said, and now I can watch Bob Ross. Thanks a lot, Netflix,
they
or
are
something like
taking
that.
Taking all these old episodes that were on PBS and they're going to be on Netflix,
they're
right?
Already is
that
on
the,
there,
they're on
yeah.
Netflix.
They're
now.
On there, yeah.
We've been watching them.
So, boy, that's good news. I never set out to watch that show. I just know sometimes you'd be flipping channels
yeah.
and it was on and you're like, I can't
have you ever
stop.
Tried painting?
I
paint.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wendy's pretty good at it. And you, Kurt, you too?
I don't
I've,
do it no. his way,
I've
though.
I've done it, but
you know
I don't
what,
do
who
it.
He reminds me of? What's his name?
Bob Ross.
John C. Reilly is doing this crazy show, Dr. Brule.
Yeah.
My kids
this?
Turned me on to this, too. Yeah. It is so disturbing.
It's the best.
I know. Kevin, I swear, it's like I come to work to escape my teenage boys, and then Kevin's here, and anytime, oh, my kids are watching this. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It is intriguing, mm-hmm. but it is very disturbing to me. Yet it's almost like I've watched 3 episodes now. I might
you
have
like
to.
It?
I don't
it?
Like it, Bill.
You just can't stop watching it.
It's just have you seen it?
Kurt? I've seen a couple. Yeah,
it's really in poor
taste.
But
you know, that's funny that you say the. You know, I didn't think about.
They look alike.
Yeah,
they have the same
because
John C. Reilly has his hair like in
hair.
A big
yeah.
fro like
yeah.
that, and
yeah.
it's
yeah.
that's who he kind of reminded me of, and I'm like, What is this?
So that's much more disturbing than painting with Bob.
Yeah, one is calming and right. one is not.
Right, 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 right. All right, there's some calls. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there. You can text us there. Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com is here to answer your questions.
Zora.
Hi.
Hi. You had a question or comment for Kurt?
Yes, I did. I've been watching The Family faithfully, and I enjoyed it. So did my friends.
So did we.
Is it coming back?
It is not coming back. And as far as I know, they're not shopping it around either to try to get it somewhere else.
Oh, they left so many things that are just up in the air.
Because it really, what I loved about it, and Bill liked it as well, we watched it religiously.
Yeah.
It was better than a TV show. It was done almost like a movie
Absolutely.
To me. And there were so many branches that needed to be solved.
That's
I thought
right.
for sure it's going to come back.
Oh, well. Yeah, so much for yeah. that. May I ask one more question?
Yeah.
The Americans, is it popular? Is it coming back?
I oh, yeah. It was just renewed for two more seasons.
But I think they said that these will be the final two.
Yeah, the
right?
final
that's,
two seasons.
That's going
to
okay, do it.
I can take two more.
Yeah.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Zora. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Zora.
Kurt, while we have you, there's a show on AMC that premieres this Sunday. It's Feed the Beast. Great cast, David Schwimmer and Jim Sturgess. The reviews I've been reading on it, though, have been way less than favorable. Yeah. Did you see Feed the Beast?
I haven't watched the full episodes yet.
No.
I've just seen the trailers, yeah.
And the premise is, it's two guys...
They're old friends, and they've always had a dream of starting a restaurant.
Yeah.
And one of them is kind of a screw-up, gets in trouble. I don't know if he gets in trouble with the law, but he gets in trouble with gangsters.
Yeah.
And I think maybe he gambles or something. I'm not sure. And so they end up sort of having to get into bed with some bad people.
Yeah.
To make this thing happen. Some bad money people.
Some bad money people. Yeah. All right. So that premieres on Sunday on AMC, which is AMC has become one of the premier networks on cable.
And Preacher's back too.
Yeah. Just, right.
Because they took a week off. They had the premiere and then they took Memorial Day weekend off, and so they're back right before that.
I have to catch up on that.
It's so weird, and there's times where you just go, I have no idea what they're going for. But then in the end, when it was all said and done, the first one was, I think, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There were so many ups and downs. I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. And then, oh, no, this is great. No, this is awful. No, this is really good. Back and forth, back and forth. It's an interesting show.
It's very cool.
And based on a comic book?
Based on a comic book. And
Seth Rogen's behind
Seth Rogen and his producing partner are producers of it. They adapted it and created
I gotta
it.
I got to see it.
I think you'll enjoy it. It's strange. All right.
It's very good. And they're doing another. I think they're adapting another comic book by the same
author. Oh, they are.
Author.
He's the new Kevin Smith, Seth Rogen is.
Maybe. It's possible.
Maybe.
Thank you, Kurt. Great to see you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
It's Kurt Wagner with TVShowPatrol.com. It's right there on your internet. We'll take a quick break, and then Kim Gordon will bring you the news. It's WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Listen to these numbers. These are staggering numbers. U.S. beekeepers lost 44% of their total colonies last year. From April 2015 to March of 2016, they lost 44% of their total colonies. The year before that, 1 year before, they lost 41% of their colonies.
Jeez.
So it's not a weird anomaly. It's happening more and more frequently, and it's not good for anybody. We have a couple of guests, Dennis Van Engelsdorp, assistant professor over at the University of Maryland, and Tiffany Fink-Hayes, food futures campaigner with Friends of the Earth U.S., to talk about these decreasing bee numbers and what this means to all of us. Thank you guys for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start out with the obvious question, and I don't know if either of you know the answer to this, but is there a simple solution to why the bee numbers keep decreasing over and over?
Well, let me just say that it's important to realize there's a difference between loss and number of bee colonies, because beekeepers can replace dead colonies quickly. It's just expensive to do. And so there isn't actually a decrease in the number of colonies. It's just much harder to keep the colonies going. So I think that that's an important distinction. And I think it's true that it's a complicated problem. So there's several different things interacting.
I have noticed when I do a lot of garden work, and we had some clovers clover flowers, which came up in the front yard. And I'm noticing a lot less bees. Usually by this time, I'm seeing a bunch of bees. I've been stung a bunch of times, and I'm not seeing very many.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that the survey this year really shows that
of course, honeybees are having a lot of trouble, but what we don't know, and I think what's concerning, is that if the honeybees are struggling, even with help from beekeepers, what's happening to our bumblebees and native bees and other native pollinators?
What are those big fluffy bees that,
you might
look
see
like
in your backyard?
What are the big, big, big fluffy bees? They look almost furry. They're black and yellow, but
right.
My 13-year-old son yesterday told me those
would be the bumblebees.
But I was told by my 13-year-old they don't sting. Is that a lie?
Well, I mean, I don't know if those were bumblebees or they're carpenter bees. Are they hanging around your house and sort of floating in the air?
Yeah, but they're just, they look furry almost.
Yeah, they're
real
puffy and furry, right.
Yeah, all bees are furry. And the reason they're furry is because they collect an electrostatic charge when they fly, and that way when they land on a flower, the pollen jumps on them. So you know it's a bee because it's furry. And so they also are pollinators. Females generally have a stinger, but few use them. Males don't have stingers, and so they can't sting.
Look what he learned in science. They're finally teaching him something.
So make sure, Wendy, as a bee is approaching you, you'd look underneath to see if it's a male or a female.
That's what I usually do. I look for the stinger. That's
right.
How I've lived my whole life.
That's all you can do. Now, let's talk about what this means to the food chain. What does this mean if bees are becoming less prevalent? What does that mean to the rest of the food chain?
Well, certainly modern agriculture requires that you have these movable pollination units, like these colonies that beekeepers move around. And so while we don't think if bees disappeared, we'd starve, we would lose that one in every three bites of food we eat. That's usually the fruits and the vegetables and those exciting components of our diet. So we would only be able to eat like corn and wheat and wind-based pollinated crops. And so we need pollinators, honeybees and native pollinators, in order to make sure that we can produce fruits and vegetables in the country.
Would this take hundreds of years to change over, or is this the kind of thing that could happen much more sooner than that?
In terms of
losing fruits or vegetables?
Well, I don't think that everywhere in the world they're having the same issue with keeping honeybee colonies alive.
Yeah.
And so I think we just have to end up, like, I think we'd still be able to produce, we just wouldn't be able to produce the same quality or the same amount. And so I don't think it's like it's an imminent issue. It's just the price is going to go up if farmers have to pay more to get pollinator units in. And of course, and I think as was rightly pointed out, are these sort of the bellwether, are these the canary in the coal mine, saying that there's something else wrong with the environment that we have to fix for honeybees and pollinators and maybe other organisms?
Come on, everything's getting messed up because of the climate change and, you know, aerosol hairspray. I mean, and now the bees are taking a hit.
Well, yeah, that's right. I think
absolutely. And it's...
Go on, Tiffany, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, I think that, as Dennis said, bees are really the canary in the coal mine. There's been thousands of studies done looking at the use of specifically pesticides and how that's contributing to bee decline, and saying that it's not just the bees that are experiencing these rapid declines, but everything that's essential for food production, soil microbes, earthworms, ladybugs, birds, that they potentially are getting... having consequences as well, and could have some serious declines if we continue to use pesticides at such at a heavy dose.
There was a time when the numbers first were reported a couple of years ago, and immediately people assumed it had something to do with cell phone towers. Is there any truth to that? Could cell phone towers be influencing these numbers?
So we actually don't think that cell phone towers are playing a role with that. We think that the three leading causes of mortality, first and foremost with honeybees, are these parasitic mites, these vampire mites that got moved from the Asian bee into European honeybees and have spread. And this, by far and wide, is killing most colonies. We also have huge changes in the landscape. The price of corn and soybean have gone up, and so a lot of what used to be flowering meadows has been plowed under. And so there's a real need to get better bee forage out there across the prairies and in our backyard to support pollinator communities. And finally, pesticides. And I know that pesticides gravitates a lot of attention, and certainly it needs to get that attention, but it's much more complicated than just pesticides. And so I think we have to be careful about trying to keep with honeybees. Varroa mites are really on the top of the list, and pesticides are probably contributing as is poor nutrition.
All right, but don't you need the pesticides to get rid of the vampire mites so the bees can flourish?
Well, that's right. And so beekeepers apply products to control mites, but not all of those are synthetic. And so there are organic controls for varroa mites as well.
And Tiffany? We have like a really bad delay system going on right now. Let me just say there's a bad delay, and I don't know if Tiffany and Dennis can hear each other, but sorry for all the craziness here. But Tiffany, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think that's not quite true. I mean, the bee problem is very complex. Bees and other pollinators are declining for a number of factors, like Dennis said. But I think one factor that is in our control is the exposure to harmful pesticides. They weaken the bee's immune system, and they make them more susceptible to stressors and pests and diseases like the varroa mite. So it's something that we can do something about right now to help reverse these bee losses. And beekeepers have been dealing with the varroa mite for decades, but what they haven't been dealing with for decades is pesticide use. In recent years, it's been skyrocketing. For example, Penn State found that in the last 11 years, coated seeds has rapidly expanded by 25 to 50%, depending on the crop. So those pesticides are getting into our environment. They're contaminating our water, our soil, and like I said, so many organisms essential to food production. So it's essential that we really curb the use of these pesticides to help do something to help reverse their losses immediately.
And they're not good for us either to ingest.
No.
You know, it's great to get an ear of corn that doesn't have a bunch of things missing, a bunch of kernels missing,
right.
But pesticides can't be great for us either.
Yeah. We're out of time, guys, but just really quickly, Dennis, we'll start with you. What do you see the future being? What can we do to fix this?
Well, I think we have to, with the honeybee situation particularly, I think we have to have educational campaigns for beekeepers to develop good varroa mite control strategies. And while they have been dealing with decades, it's pretty clear from our data that a lot of the old methods for controlling mites no longer work. And so we have to educate beekeepers. We also have to plant more forage for bees. And so there's a huge efforts to get more prairies planted. People who have backyards need to plant pollinator gardens. And these are really essential. And, of course, we should minimize and use pesticide wisely, not prophylactically. I think we all agree.
So true. Tiffany, anything to add to that?
I would say we need to, of course, plant forage, but make sure it's pesticide-free or free of systemic insecticides so that it's good, safe habitat for bees. And there's been a number of countries and states even around the U.S. that have reduced the use of these pesticides or placed restrictions on them. But we really need our federal government, EPA, USDA, and Congress to place immediate restrictions on these pesticides in order to reverse the decline of bees and other pollinators.
Very good. Thank you both. We really appreciate it. It's Dennis Van Engelsdorp, assistant professor over at the University of Maryland, and Tiffany Fink-Hayes, food futures campaigner with Friends of the Earth U.S. Thank you both. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Don't get stung.
Don't get stung. So true, Wendy. Thank you. That would be an ironic finish, wouldn't it?
All right.
If they just both screamed out in terror as the bees stung them. All right. We'll take a quick break and then a little bit more show for you, Bill and Wendy, WGN. And they are, so it all makes sense. We're talking bees, as we do every Friday, Bee Chat.
Wait, I'm going to wait 30 seconds and then talk. Something wrong with this phone system.
It seemed like they were on some delay where we would ask a question and then a half a minute later they would answer. So,
and I'm a little offended by the assistant professor of entomology or whatever it is. I can't pronounce that word. And I can't pronounce his name, Dennis Van Engelsdorp.
That's right.
When I was talking about a fuzzy furry bee, I know in his mind, because he's an entomology guy, he knows that they all have fur on them.
But
I get that.
More...
But one looks like a cotton ball that's black and
right.
Yellow.
There is a kind of
it's
bee.
It's fluffy.
It is a puffier, fluffier bee.
Like a fro bee.
It's like a fro bee.
It is kind of.
Yeah. I guess if you, yeah,
it's
I guess
big
you could say
and
that.
Puffy, and
right.
And so I know he's a bug expert or a bee expert.
So he knows, because it's his profession, that all bees
are hairy.
Have those
but
out.
You knew
right.
What I
well,
meant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got to keep it down to the real people. And have you ever been stung?
I was stung once.
I've been stung about 10 times.
Seriously.
I know some people have a terrible reaction. They're allergic
they
to
up.
It. And they have to carry an EpiPen because they could go into anaphylactic shock.
Right.
But it...
Where are you that you keep getting stung? Is that in the garden when you're
in the
gardening?
Garden? Yeah. Growing up as a kid, I always walked barefoot. I still kind of do. And when you're walking in the grass, there's a real good chance you're going to step on a bee.
I had, because I grew up in the 1970s, our house had shag carpeting because for kids listening, it was a law in the United States. You had to have shag carpeting in the 70s. So you would lose stuff in there, you know, for weeks or months or years. You couldn't find it in the shag carpeting. And like you, I was walking across our living room one day, and it felt like a machete had stabbed me in the foot.
Why was there a bee in your shag carpeting?
Well, I guess it just flew in the house and decided to die and or close.
Or hide in
or
it.
Or hide in the shag
carpeting.
They
thought carpeting. It was grass.
They thought it was a jungle. They thought it was the Congo. And it numbed my, like, honestly, I had no feeling in my foot for 3 days. It didn't swell
up. Because you're a baby.
And because I'm a baby.
Because, I mean, it hurts at the time.
Oh, it hurts so badly.
And I don't even know if you get the stingers out there. Just this happened like maybe 4 years ago. I was cutting the lawn, and I went by our shed, and I thought I ran the lawnmower over a firecracker. I thought, oh, my God, something was left in the yard from the 4th of July. Because on my back, it's like... 8 little places where it burned like crazy, and I arched my back and ran away, and then lo and behold, I look up and there's this giant hornet's nest under the eave of our shed.
Yeah.
And when I went by with the lawnmower, it made a lot of noise, and probably I banged into the shed, and they went nuts, and I couldn't believe all the stings I had on my back. I went to one of those CVS urgent care centers or Walgreens, I can't remember, because I thought I was having some kind of a reaction,
sure.
And they said, no, just take some ibuprofen. It's just that you have so many all at once that it just really flared up. But it was like I was getting shot.
It's
and like
that bad,
8 of them
it?
On my back. Oh, my God.
One of my friend's dads when I was growing up, I don't know why, but he every summer would get either a bee attack or a hornet attack. And he said getting stung by a hornet is way, way more painful than a bee. Is
it
that possible?
It was the worst I've ever experienced.
Why would it be so much more painful?
Because they're bigger. They have a bigger stinger.
Oh,
size does matter.
Yeah.
Then when we had a bug guy, we have a new bug guy now because this old bug guy, I felt so sorry for him.
Harvey Klinger?
Yes.
Is it Harvey Klinger?
I showed him where the hornet's nest was, and he put on, you know, like a beekeeper's mask, mm-hmm. and he had a whole outfit going. He looked like a Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was just putting together it looked like, I'm sure he didn't, that he was just taping together wire coat hangers that were straightened out so he could, like, bat it down
right.
and then spray it like crazy. I don't know what it was, but he got stung a couple times, too. It's part of the job.
You're going to get, yeah, how could you not if that's what you do? The neighbor I was telling you about, my friend's dad, they would get a hornet's nest by their front door, like above their mailbox, every summer, and then he at some point would have to take something to try to smoke it out, and they don't like to be smoked out. So
no,
they attack.
Who does, really?
Nobody likes to get
Not
smoked out.
Not even smokers
out.
Like to get smoked
smokers
out.
Smokers hate it, too, but I don't think you might get stung by smokers, too, but he would try different things every summer, and every summer he would end up getting stung.
The hornet was the worst thing I've ever experienced.
It's that bad.
The bees, I mean, it happens, and it hurts
you just
that
move
minute,
on.
But, you
oh,
know,
I had
you
three,
put...
I'm telling you, 3 bad days.
You're a baby.
3 days.
We only have a minute here. Dave, you were stung between the toes?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I lived on a farm, and I made my own aviaries by collecting bees in old mason jars. I got stung by every bee you can imagine, from wasps to hornets like you did, which are extremely painful.
Oh.
But I got to side with Bill. I was in Texas one time. I got stung between my large toe and my first toe. It was the most painful sting I've ever had in my entire life. So I've got to side with Bill. Yeah,
for 3 days, Dave?
The hornet stings like you got from the sack nest that hang from the trees.
Yeah.
I've stung by those 3 at a time, 4 at a time, which were painful enough. But the worst one that I ever had was one that got me between my toes. And I was sore, like Bill, for 2 or 3 days.
All right.
See what I mean?
I'll give him credit.
It put me through the wall.
Yep. It's that bad.
Well, take it easy. Put your shoes on, okay?
Put your shoes on, Dave.
You got it, guys.
All right. Thanks. Thanks very much.
I just thought you were a baby.
I am also a baby. I don't want to discount that. Steve Bertrand will be with us in just a little bit to tell us what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's part two of our Friday show. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her, Wendy Snyder. Call in or text in at 312-981-7200. You seem shaken up for some reason.
I'm not going to mention
it. Are you
I'm
okay?
I'm not give you the satisfaction.
Is everything all right?
You're a jerk. How is that fun?
Wait, can I ask Kim Gordon, you and I have known each other since we were 11 years old. Am I a jerk?
No.
I'm not a jerk,
Sometimes.
Wendy.
Sometimes.
No.
Oh.
You're thinking of somebody else.
How is it fun to scare somebody? How is that fun?
If I accidentally scared you.
Oh, so he's acting like he's 11 years old, like when I first met him.
First of all, you're right. Steve Bertrand is very particular about the chair in which he sits.
Yes, he is.
So he moves chairs around.
Yes.
And you know that I guess I'm particular, too.
Yes.
So I was going to move the chair out of the control board area.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin's asking me stupid, inane questions, which I am falling
because
for.
Because he wanted it to seem like it was just another day. He didn't want to
You're
seem
both
any,
jerks.
Nothing
no.
out of the ordinary.
So Bill is crouched down under the control board, and as I pull the chair out,
I made
I'm
a
laughing
wolf noise.
Now.
Made a scary wolf noise.
You jumped out at me.
Yes.
I didn't know what it was.
Right.
I said, where's Bill? Kevin goes, he's upstairs. Oh, for what? I don't know. Hey, do you have any? You suck, both of you.
Come on.
It's not fun to
I
scare
still feel
people.
Your pain. My dad and my grandfather used to do that to me all.
Just jump out and scare you.
Well, or like when we were little kids, we'd be, you
little
know,
kids.
Sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden, like my dad would like put pantyhose over his head, and he would like pop up in the backyard through the windows, you know, just all that kind of stuff. So
Bill,
I'm so
Bill wants
I
to
so
meet
so
your
feel
dad.
Your pain.
Yeah, I admire
is
him.
He still
he
around?
Loves that. Yes, he
oh,
is.
Oh, that's a good time.
That is not fun.
I don't know. I had fun, Kevin.
I mean.
At
two out of three
Wendy's
of us
expense.
Had fun.
Yeah. Right. We had fun, and you were smiling at some point. It took a little while.
I could have had a heart attack and died.
You took it better than I expected.
You did take it way better than either of us expected. And you didn't swear. I was sure in my head, I'm like, I wonder what swear word one you'll yell out. You did not. You just said, and I quote, "Aah!" like that.
It's just not fun.
I don't know.
How does your family live with you?
I enjoyed it.
When, do they just roll their eyes at you, though,
no,
now, or do they still like to play along?
They're kind of in on it. My family has this thing where they all kind of like to do that to each other. It keeps you alert. Like, there's no downtime. We all have to be on 24-hour alert.
So you sleep with one eye open.
Always. Always.
Again,
yeah.
How is that fun?
I don't know. It just is. I can't explain it. When I was a kid, remember, all right, you had Creature Features on Saturday,
yeah.
And you had Screaming Yellow Theater on Friday, which became Spengoolie.
Scream- oh, okay.
Right?
Yes.
That was Screaming Yellow Theater originally on
and
Channel
wasn't
32.
There Screaming Yellow Zonkers?
Yeah, that was a snack, right.
That you were supposed to eat while watching Screaming Yellow Theater.
It made the experience better if you
it
would
did.
Eat Screaming Yellow Zonkers while having Screaming Yellow Theater on TV. Well, I'll never forget, the movie was Horror Hotel. With Christopher Lee.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's really scary.
It is.
Very scary. And it was my mom and my brother and I watching it. And my dad snuck around the corner. And during the scariest moment in Horror Hotel, my dad reached out, put his hand on my mom's shoulder, and made that like that noise. My mom was drinking hot chocolate at the time. And it went up so high, it left a stain on our ceiling, the hot chocolate, which we left up for 6 years. So that people could they'd come over and they go, what happened there? You know, and then we'd explain to him. And
it was like your dad's trophy.
It was
you could point it out.
Right.
See that hot
right.
chocolate
that's
up
from
there?
Horror Hotel with Christopher Lee.
So do I call him right now and thank him for making you do stuff like that?
No, because a lot of times that gene is weeded out as time goes on. But both, you know, my wife has that and both of my daughters like to, you know, hide and jump out and scare somebody.
I bet Reese doesn't.
Of the four of us, Reese is the least happy with
yes.
that. But even she has, from time to time, pulled off a good one.
Well, you got my blood pumping, that's for sure.
That's a positive.
And
you
I
live
was
longer.
Tired.
Yeah, but not anymore.
No, I just want to punch you.
Fine. That's a small price to pay for fun.
I just, you know, you look really foolish when you're scared. Let me just say that.
Yeah, there's no way to look cool and scared at the same time. What you missed was a great moment as Kevin and I debated which one would be better to hide underneath the desk and jump out. We voted, and I won.
What was the criteria? Because can I tell you? I'll listen to yours first.
Kevin, what was the criteria?
I said, I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah, Kevin didn't want to do it.
Because if Kevin wasn't here, I would be more worried. If you weren't here, right. I'd be like, well, we could start the
I'm
show.
I'm expendable.
No, you're not expendable, but I know that, you know, you'd sneak in and
sure.
No one would know the difference.
Right, right.
So if Kevin wasn't here to hit the commercials and stuff.
Yeah. But, it would have worked because I do take multiple bathroom breaks per show. So yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Be, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have missed you for a second. But you were just talking to me, and what happened? Why did it take so long? Did I take longer to move the chairs this time?
I thought it'd be most effective to get you at your most vulnerable, which is chair out, about to sit down. So I waited until the exact right second, and that it took a little while. But that's all right.
Calculated.
It was worth it.
Most vulnerable, that's where my crotch area is.
If that's where your center of gravity is, I didn't have any kind of a schematic or diagram, but if you tell me that, I'll believe you.
You showed Kevin on the doll.
Right.
Come on.
Right. Right.
Well, thanks for getting the blood pumping.
That's why I'm here.
It's a Friday. I feel vigorous.
Yes. And scared for a couple of brief seconds.
My heart now, skipped a beat.
But now don't you feel like everything's right with the world? You
no.
know there's no danger in sitting in that chair now?
It's not even danger. It's just I don't like to be scared. It's not fun.
I know. I will not do that again for the rest of this show.
I'm just surprised you did. I mean,
why?
I'm surprised you were able to pull that off. Because I've been here with you
right.
for going on 3 years now.
Almost three, right.
You've never done anything like
no.
that. Just when I think it's safe to go back in the water.
That's when you get somebody. Wait till you see what's coming on your birthday. You're going to love your birthday this year.
I'm taking my birthday off. Mm-hmm. Sue, can you believe this?
No, you know what? Shame on those, I can't even say gentlemen.
We're not
they're
gentlemen.
Boys.
We're little boys at best.
Thank you. Exactly. I totally sympathize with you, Wendy. And I just have a quick story to tell. In the big house I grew up in, anyway, sometimes I get scared going down the basement. I was an adult at the time. Anyway, my brother was down there, and all he did was, whoa, ho, ho. And I screamed so loud.
Can you do the noise
yeah,
one more time,
wait, yeah.
please? We want to hear the noise, Sue, one more time. Yep.
That's okay. not that scary.
That would do it. That
no,
would
it was,
scare me.
It was a lot scarier at the time.
Okay. But in a scary basement,
right,
that noise is
right, and you're not
gonna,
expecting
right,
anyone.
Sure.
Yes.
Thank you. But the kicker is that my mom was upstairs on the phone talking to my aunt. My aunt heard that noise in her... through the phone, and she was making chili and dropped the receiver into the chili bowl.
Nice. That's nice.
That's my story.
And you're sticking with it. That's a good one, Sue. Thank you. That's what brothers are for, I think.
No, you both
there
said,
you
I don't know who gets anything out of this. You're laughing. Sue's laughing. Kevin and I laughed.
I like laughing at other people being scared.
Oh, right.
I just don't like to be scared.
Oh, okay.
Some people love it. Both my kids, they love getting scared. They do it every day. Like, they can't catch on that somebody's going to go jump in the room and scare them. They do that every day. Why?
I don't know. That's wrong every day.
Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too, Sue.
What I learned from Sue is next prank, we need a bowl of chili and a breathy Santa Claus.
It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
What happened to that baseball player, Schlitter?
Oh, he's no longer with the Cubs. Brian Schlitter.
Damn it.
He was a relief pitcher with the Cubs. Brian Schlitter, no longer with the Cubs.
This is my favorite name.
Yeah. Brian Schlitter. That's a nice name.
Sorry to see him go. Oh, I didn't mean that.
Yes, you did.
No, I swear
yes,
I didn't.
You, did.
You were pre-laughing.
Yeah.
No, I was laughing because of Bill's face. Sometimes I realize things in my head as they're coming out of my mouth.
Right, right. I'm sure he'll pop up somewhere. What? Come on. What?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the last 2 hours of the week.
I know. What happened to you?
I don't know.
It's
I
like
don't know.
There were no food trucks out there and you lost your
Schlitter. My day. It ruined my day is what it did. It ruined my day.
All right, Jim wants to talk to us.
Sure.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's not fun in here anymore. Actually, it is very fun. I'll say that.
My wife tried to pay me back one time, and I never scared her on purpose, but I would come around the corner at the same time she was coming around, and she'd get scared.
Yeah.
So one night she decided, okay, I'm going to get this guy back, and I had got up like at 2 o'clock in the morning to go get some water, left the bedroom, went down the hallway, and while this happened, I guess she hit on me, and as I come through the hallway, she jumped out and yelled, ah! And my natural reaction is I jumped out with a punch and hit her right in the
face. Oh, no!
Up the ground. And she wasn't seriously injured, but she never tried that again, that's for sure.
Hey, listen, that's what you get. Bill, you were at foot level. I could have just kicked
you
at
you. You could have, right. It could have ended ugly.
And probably should have, Wendy.
I know, but see, here's the thing. I didn't think I was in danger because Kevin was here, and Kevin's big and strapping.
He would have taken care of it.
You know, I wouldn't think there's any threat in the studio. Little did I know.
Kicking him would have been fun, right?
Kind of.
Maybe. But I made like a wolf noise.
I didn't focus on your noise.
Right.
I just saw a body underneath where I sit come out at me.
Right.
It took me a second to really identify you.
Right. Because there's plenty of bodies under there, but rarely do they come out after you. Usually you just pile them up down there.
I don't know, but I'm sorry you hit your wife, and I know you probably felt so bad about her,
forever.
Her sister.
I told her, I said, never do that again. I said, that was just a natural reflex action, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And she never did it again, your sister, right?
Never again.
Good. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that story. I should have kicked you.
Have you seen any of the... There's a bunch of videos, and I don't know where they do this, but they take place in a parking garage where a guy dresses up like a dinosaur, and not like a cartoon dinosaur. Like, it looks like a Jurassic Park dinosaur. So then somebody will come out of the building into the parking lot. It's an enclosed structure. And then from around the corner, this dinosaur comes with a roaring noise running after them. And you just see, like in your head, you go, well, we don't have dinosaurs anymore. This is ridiculous.
You don't have time to reason. And you know where I saw that video?
Where?
You showed it to me.
Oh, did I show you?
In the office.
Oh, I probably did.
Look at this. And again, I said, how is that funny? These people are ready to wet themselves.
But wouldn't you, wouldn't you for a second go, oh, this is frightening. Wait, we haven't had those for a billion years on the planet.
Your body goes into a fight or flight response. It's called cortisol. That is the whatever it is.
I have healthy Trinity on my side. I don't have to worry about cortisol, Wendy. I'm fine.
It's fight or flight. So you just see something that's not supposed to be there, and you try to get out of there.
Right.
Your reasoning.
It's all gone.
It's not happening yet.
Right. You go, well, prehistoric animal after me, and you just run.
And then
scream.
Later you go, I am an idiot.
Right.
I should have known.
Right.
Dinosaurs are no longer here.
Why would it be in a parking garage? If you were a dinosaur, you'd be out in the swampland somewhere. You wouldn't be in a parking garage. But there's no time to focus on that.
Nope. It's fight or flight.
And then the other one, and I know I've showed you this because you got mad at me for showing you this, is the elevator tricks that people do where they're on an elevator and there's a hidden panel and then lights go out in the elevator and when they come back on, it looks like there's a corpse of a girl standing there staring at you in the elevator.
Again.
It is funny. I don't know why it's funny.
But I hope somebody does this to you someday.
I'm fine with it. People can do that to me.
Oh my God, you'd be screaming and grabbing everyone. Are you alone in the elevator or are you amongst people?
Sometimes the person is alone. Sometimes there's a second person in there with them. It doesn't matter. And if there's two people, they're both scared together. It's not like one person protects. Then they just hold each other and they scream.
Yeah, but typically you're a gentleman and you hold the door for everyone.
Yes.
But I'd like to see you in that situation. Jump up in the woman's arms.
I would be as scared as anybody. But for me, I love that. It's very enjoyable to me. Like I've told you this. I love having nightmares. I love it. If I had the option of having a nightmare every night when I slept, I'd go for a nightmare every night. Because it's like you're seeing a free horror movie while you're sleeping.
Yeah, but then you wake up and you think it's real for a minute, don't you? Oh, I'm sorry. He's Bill Leff. He has the switch. He can flip at any time.
Isn't it a great feeling, though, when you realize it's not real?
Yes.
The relief.
That's the best. It's the best.
See, then you're scared.
But like if you said to me, what are the best dreams you've ever had? Nearly every one of them would be a terrifying nightmare that, like Steve said, the realization, none of that's real. It's just pretend. But I love that. I woke up from some of the greatest, and I go, oh, they should make that into a movie, that nightmare. That was a great nightmare.
All right, if you're just tuning in, someone texted and missed what happened. We came in after the Steve Bertrand Hour. And Bill was hiding underneath.
I was under the desk the whole Steve Bertrand hour, by the way.
It was really fun.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, were you rubbing his feet?
Part of it.
I couldn't reach his feet from where I was.
Not you. Good God. And when I moved the chair out of the way, Bill said he howled like a wolf or did some wolf noise.
I went like a wolf would do. Like
you
that.
Did?
Yeah.
You did that, Kevin? Yeah. Why don't you videotape this?
You really
missed the boat.
But if you saw Kevin just standing there with a video recorder, you'd go, well, something's up.
You've never taken pictures or filmed anyone without their knowing?
Well, that sounds weird.
Oops.
That sounds
a lot of
you've
times,
never gone up to a neighbor's house and their drape is open just a little bit and videoed. Yeah, we've all done that, yeah.
Sometimes I see someone walking down the street, like if it's a girl and I like her shoes or her hair color,
yeah.
I will just kind of hold my phone out and take a bunch of pictures.
You do?
Sometimes.
Wow. All right.
That would have been, if I were to do that, it wouldn't go as well.
No. There'd be an FBI file on us if we did that.
I don't do it often. But
how often?
I've done it twice.
Oh, all right. That's not bad, I guess.
And not recently. But yeah, if it's somebody's hair color I like, it's like, oh, I like those highlights. And I just kind of hold my hand up and
you
I
follow them home.
No, I just snap a few shots and then zoom in and tell the girl this is how I want my hair.
All right.
And cortisol is a hormone, by the way.
Oh. Don't pay her.
I'll
thank
say the
you.
World.
Thank you. Don't, you were supposed to ask
don't
me. That's
pay
what
her.
You always do. All right.
All right, we'll take
it. Are we ready to start the real
show? Yeah, the real show's starting in just a few minutes. Steve will give you the news, and then we'll have some real stuff for you. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
It's a beautiful, sunny Friday afternoon. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill, answer this question.
All right.
How many times have you used an emoji, either in a text or email?
About a half a dozen times.
I'm surprised you have it all.
I always do it to make my family crazy because I'll send them a note and then I'll say, here's an emoji of a baby with a large head. And then I'll just include a picture of a baby with a large head for no reason at all.
You set it up?
Yeah. And you're not supposed to.
No.
But I always do. Here's a picture of a Christmas tree. I point it out and then I include it for no reason.
I do stupid things. My oldest son, Michael, will be in the other room, and all of a sudden I will just find a stupid emoji and send it to him.
Yeah.
And he says he's always going to come back with the whale.
Oh.
So my job is to get him to do something other.
Sure.
Like, are there any other emojis? And it's just always the whale.
It's always the same one.
And I know Kevin has his own signature emoji. Are you still using that stupid thing?
When the time is right, when the situation calls for it, yeah.
I've heard that phrase before. What does that mean? That means that you have one designed to look like you for some reason?
Well, no, that is something different, which we have all except for you because you don't know how to get apps.
Yeah.
You can go, is it Bitmoji?
Bitmoji, yeah.
And you can make like a cartoon character of yourself. Although I didn't go the anime route. There are some emojis that look more anime. I went the other way.
Is this the one Steve Cochran has that looks just like Pat Morita?
Yeah, he didn't do a good job on his.
His looks like Pat Morita.
Kevin's looks just like Kevin.
Oh, yeah?
But your signature emoji before Bitmoji was available is what?
Well, it's the thumbs up and then the smiley face with the sunglasses and then there's the flexi arm.
Oh, that's a very positive message you're sending out.
Well, I'm just affirming things.
Yeah.
Do you ever just do a partial signature and leave part of it out?
If I'm in a rush, I can throw just the sunglass smiley, sure. Or the thumbs up.
Yeah.
I've been using the thumbs up a lot. I was the one who hated emojis and then because I kept getting a picture of an alien. And then when I got a new phone, what did that alien turn into, Kevin?
Oh, it was a bunch of middle fingers, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh.
So then I was like, okay, swearing, I'm in.
Yeah. Huh. But, you know, for several years there, society existed without them.
It wasn't as good.
Right. People couldn't get their points across.
No.
How about I get emails from people who try to use emoji, or they do, but they don't translate. So then it's like a J.
Yeah,
in emails, yeah. I think that's a smiley face.
I think it is too, but it's not really. It's a J.
Yeah, but they don't know that you're getting a J.
Right,
it's
well,
like,
maybe they should write smiley face then.
That's what Bill does.
I do that.
Sideways smiley face. He foreshadows it.
I put the words sideways smiley faced guy. I don't include the picture. I just put those words.
You know what you should do? You should put colon parenthesis.
Oh, yeah.
That would be funnier.
Yeah. All right.
Well, they have new emojis that have just come out. Is this exciting news
or
not?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Come on.
Yes.
Some of them, who needs an emoji of bacon?
Are you kidding me?
It doesn't smell like bacon. You can't eat it.
Not yet. That's the future.
Emojis are like the thing you don't realize you need them until you have them.
But if you were writing somebody a note, a text or something about bacon, you would get your point across probably without include. Like, nobody's going to go, bacon, what is he talking about? Oh, there's bacon. Oh, yeah, now I get it. So it's,
when would you use that, though? If you were, hey, you want to go out for breakfast? What do you want? Then you send a picture of bacon.
I would even send, like, make it like 16 bacons, you know?
16 bacons? Why?
Well, there's two, so there that would be 32 bacons.
The more the merrier.
That's too much.
You could always put what's shaken and then,
and then
a picture of
the bacon.
Right.
That's a good use. I'll give it to you. But more bacons.
Who needs a picture of a clown?
That's anyone. You want scary. There's your scary right there.
Well, Emojipedia.org released the new emojis that are going to be coming out. 72 of them.
What's Emojipedia.com? What is that?
It's all things emojis.
My homepage.
They have Wikipedia. They have Wiki everything. This is Emojipedia. Everything's pedia.
Is this the most visited website on the whole internet?
No.
It isn't? I'm shocked.
Well, it might be. A face with a cowboy hat. Who needs that?
Well, before he passed away, I would text Gene Autry all the time, and I never knew how to get my point across through pictures with him. I wished this had come a few years earlier.
Maybe say you're inviting some friends over for a party, and then you could say, it's going to be a wild time. Cowboy hat.
Cowboy face guy.
And then what's the emoji for lame?
Well, why would they make one for that? I don't know.
It's going to be right. A big hoot nanny.
Right. Oh, there's going to be cartoon cowboys at this party. I want in.
There's actually a person rolling on the floor laughing.
That would be when you're rolling on the floor laughing. That's when you'd use that.
This is the dumbest thing.
At some
thing.
Point, the English language will just go away.
We're going back to hieroglyphics.
People won't want to say words anymore. That's it, Kevin. They'll just use these pictures as hieroglyphics. That's all we'll have.
All right. Answer this question, Bill. I want to see if you can figure out sure. The life in emoji land.
All right.
There's a lying face.
Yeah.
So what would it look like?
Oh,
any idea?
Boy,
it's
how
a
would
smiley
you express
face,
that?
But
with one eyebrow kind of arched, maybe.
No, think no? Pinocchio.
Oh, a long nose.
Yeah, that's
is that why?
Stupid.
I was thinking shifty eyes, maybe.
No, the
no,
nose
I get,
is brown.
Yeah, right.
Drooling face.
For when you're drooling over food. You can do the bacon, then the drooly face. Oh,
bacon,
my God.
Drooly face.
He's going to have a new signature emoji by the end of the show. A sneezing face, when do you use that? When you have a
when
cold?
When you're sick. Right, that's easy.
Wait, you're on board with this?
No, I'm just. I thought it was a game show.
I thought
there were prizes.
He's trying to figure out how long it will take him to type a sneezing face.
Right. Sneezy face guy. I would type that at the end of my note.
Who needs an emoji of a pregnant woman? If you're pregnant, people know it.
No, what better way to tell your husband that you're having a baby
are
than to send
kidding?
Him?
Are you kidding?
Or your teenage boyfriend.
Right.
Steve.
Right. Right.
Well,
that's not funny.
No,
it's terms that you understand. I have a teenage boy, Wendy. You're not the only one with teenage boys.
No, I'm not thinking of my boys. I'm just thinking about people out there that, you know.
Yeah.
But in a moment like that, there's no time for words.
Mom,
just
what do you think
picture.
This means?
Right. Could mean anything.
Seriously, I can't find the prince emoji. They have a prince emoji. Would they if he hadn't died?
I don't know if you meant. The singer prince or like the prince of a foreign country. But the singer prince had an emoji.
Yeah, I think so. I can't find it.
Maybe it'll be his symbol, his little...
Oh, yeah. That's what I should be looking for, huh?
Yeah. That little like letter opener looking thing.
Then you could do prince symbol, bacon, baby, drool face.
Nose, long nose
I'm not
guy.
Sure what that means, but...
It means my girlfriend's having a baby and at a prince concert with bacon.
I don't even understand this. Call me hand?
What is a call
is
me
dirty?
Hand?
Is dirty?
No,
I
like this.
Oh, a call me hand.
Like, okay, I don't hand. Know. Yeah.
Like a hang loose but holding it up to your
face. Yeah, it's like my hand is the phone.
Just write call me.
Wendy, why would I write all those letters?
Because you got to go to a different keyboard.
It's like Wendy just got an emoji from Bill. I don't get this one. Call me
right.
hand.
I need to text you my rolling eye emoji right now.
What in English?
Rolling eye emoji.
Like, this. You know, like
just,
that.
You know what's better? Screw the emojis. Take a selfie of you rolling your eyes and text it to me.
That's too personal.
That is way too personal. Can I ask a question? Everybody, when they're doing that call me thing, uses the one you just described, which is the three fingers in the middle kind of inside, and then your small finger is the bottom. All right. But nobody uses a phone like that anymore. They use like a cell phone or something like that. So shouldn't that be switched to just like a flat palm when you're calling somebody?
I'm picking up a receiver of an old phone. Am I holding it like that?
No, no one ever held it like that.
But
I
you're
guess.
You're implying that that's the receiver. It kind of
right.
looks like.
But if hardly anybody uses a regular landline anymore, shouldn't that be
updated just a flat,
to a flat your palm out?
I'm 100%
with you. Why don't people do
you.
That when they mean call me?
You are so with it right now. Right.
But that would look like a slap emoji, though, because if it's just an open palm.
I guess. All right.
What is face palm?
That's where you put your palm in your face. Like this?
Like, it's like you're looking
it's like,
adorable?
No, exactly.
Oh, like you're fed up?
You're looking adorable. Yeah,
like, you know, like this?
Those would be two fists under your chin with your head
cocked. I would
call
that like glamour shot head.
That's my signature emoji.
I would call that little whiny baby boy.
That's hurtful. It took me weeks to figure out my signature emoji, and you just burned it to the ground. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more discussion. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. This is kind of a peppy tune, don't you think? And Hank Williams.
Bill, there's a new book out called Is This Your Man? It features real men telling real stories about how they play, manipulate, and deceive women.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin Tate is on the line, the author of this book. Are women going to be throwing stuff at their radios right now?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you mentioned in the book there are several types of men that women should avoid dating. But women like those bad boys. Can I tell you, as a former dater of a bad boy,
mm-hmm.
it's exciting and exhilarating when you date a bad boy, but then when you want to get married, you are so not looking at that bad boy.
Absolutely. You know, I always say the man you're looking for at 18 should not be should be a completely different man that you're looking for in your 30s. So if your list at 18 is the same at 30, then you probably got a problem.
So, Colin, why do women go through that stage where they think that's a good idea to date the bad boy? What's in it for them?
You know, it's the same thing with us guys. I think we all go through that phase where women think the bad boy is exciting and exhilarating. Same thing with guys where they think women who are, you know, dressed a certain way or very, very aggressive. You know, it takes a little bit of time before we realize that's not what we want. And a lot of us, you know, guys who women thought were hot in high school, you ask them if they look back on it now, they always say, well, what the hell was I thinking?
Right, right. So in talking with these men, the guys that you interviewed for Is This Your Man, did you find the majority of them did, as Wendy said, play women, manipulate women, deceive women? Was that the common thread?
Well, the thing that made the book interesting was that men aren't just that black and white as just players. Each man had their own particular manipulation and objective. So one man may want to play you just because of the sex. Another man may want to play you just because he needs somebody to help take care of him. And another man may just be abusive. So it just, and that's why I wrote the book, because I realized that when relationship coaches were giving advice, they're giving it from their own perspective, which is fine. But men are not all created equal. So what I decided to do is I need to figure out which men women are dating that are frustrated with, and then go to the men themselves and figure out exactly why they keep attracting these women and why these men keep attracting the women in their life as well.
Colin Tate on the line with us, and the book is called Is This Your Man? You mentioned six types of men that women should avoid. I'm going to try and guess. I have not read the book yet. I'm married, although I do want to look at it. There's the total package. I just want to guess. This is a guy who looks like he's got it all going on. Great job, great hair, dresses well, nice car. Is that the total package?
Oh, absolutely. And what makes the total package interesting is that what you may consider your total package is different from, let's say, my wife's total package, which it better be me.
Sure.
But, yeah, so the total package is right. He's the man that fits 90% of the things you're looking for. Great looks, great sex, great body. And he's the man that you find yourself doing more for him that you wouldn't do for any other man. He's the one you kind of lose yourself over.
Because you think he's the prize.
Oh, absolutely. And he knows that you think he's the prize.
What a cad.
Did you meet this guy, Wendy? You at some point you dated the guy that was this.
No,
right?
I've never dated a total package.
Oh, man.
I married one.
Oh yeah.
Well, sort of.
nice play.
Thank you. All right, the online player. I have no idea what this is. Somebody who does the hookup sites or something, maybe looking for a date?
Well, here's the thing. What most women aren't aware of is men aren't as confident as approaching women, cold turkey as you may think. Yes, he may be confident at the bars when he has that liquid courage in his system. But
yeah.
When you see, a lot of women see men stare at them at the grocery store, stare at them at the gas station, because every man, I don't care if it's Colin Tate or Brad Pitt, at some point every man has had a woman cut him down like he was a homeless man off the street, and it's not a fun experience. So the online player can approach all these beautiful women without experiencing any of the rejection. And so that's what makes him so deadly.
There's the CEO. Of course, that's someone who is, you know.
A power monger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we can identify him. That I can imagine.
Well, the CEO is a little bit different. He represents a man that is very controlling. He is verbally, sometimes physically, and financially abusive. So his goal is to present that he is the most perfect man in the world. He wants to isolate you from your support system, get you to quit your job, get you to, leave your family. He wants to act as if I can take care of your needs, but that's all a sign of control. And once he pulls you away, that's where the real monster comes out.
How long into a relationship, Colin, should you suggest to your girlfriend that she quit her job? Because I don't think I would ever
three dates.
Three dates,
at
and you
least
go,
three
you know
dates.
What, this work thing, it's a thing of the past.
Absolutely.
All right. You got the BSer. I think like a name dropper, a guy who says, oh, I know someone who does this. I mean,
big
that's
pretender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can guess that, right? Yeah. Are we correct?
Well, here's the thing. Every woman has definitely met a BSer. And a BSer is that man who some of women are in a long-term relationship with them. They may be engaged. They have a child by them. They live together, but he never fully commits. It's as if he's still playing a tennis match in his head whether he wants to be true to you. You caught him cheating. You've accused him of cheating. Then there's the BSer where the relationship's more on and off again, where you haven't met his family, you haven't met his friends.
He keeps part of his life pretty private from you, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's the type of guy that disappears for days, weeks, months at a time.
Oh, that is not good.
Yeah, some men like to call it the witness protection program, where they disappear. You can call, you can email, you can say, hey, are you okay? He will not respond.
All right.
What a red flag that would be. If you're calling a guy that you thought you were in a relationship for weeks and he just doesn't respond, wouldn't you go, this isn't meant to be, I would hope.
You would think so, but I talked to a woman in Asia today, actually, and she has been BS'd by a guy for almost 10 years.
Wow.
You know, you get caught up in it, and you know that he's not the one for you, but you just don't, you know, maybe you do have a kid together. Maybe you just have invested so much time that you're, you know, as a woman, you're determined to make it work.
Right.
Sometimes that happens.
Right.
What about the chameleon?
The chameleon actually is the most devious one of all the men that I encountered. He is the one that can adjust his personality, his views, his outlook, his belief system to fit whatever woman he's dating just for sex. So if a woman he meets loves to drink, he loves to drink. If a woman he meets hates cats, guess what? He hates cats. So he is a gatherer of information. So he taught me that he learned that women love to talk. And what he does is as they talk more and more, he then presents to be the so-called perfect guy in her eyes and just adjusts everything for what she's looking for, but it's only for sex, and he's only around for a short time.
And all that's intentional. He's playing a game. He's making her think that he just blends into her lifestyle, but it's all a game,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. And just like the real chameleon, he can't hold his true form for so long, so time is a woman's best ally when dealing with that type of man.
Colin Tate on the line with us. The book is called Is This Your Man? And if you're looking for a man, you might want to read this, ladies, before you go out there. He interviewed close to 500 men and women from different backgrounds, ages, and ethnicity. We have left one more of the six types of men to avoid, and I left it for last because I'm wondering if this is what kind of man you would be if you were single, Bill.
Me? Yeah.
It's called the baby boy.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Let's hope not.
What is the baby boy? Someone who is Peter Pan like and doesn't want to grow up? Bill?
Colin, don't answer until I open it. I have a package of Pez. I want to eat this while you answer this one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And put the comic book down it while you're at it. I got it.
All right.
So the baby boy, don't confuse it with the mama's boy. A mother's boy is a man that just puts his mother above other women. Baby boy is a man that, like you said, cannot grow up. He has dreams of grandeur. He has a hard time holding a solid job. He wants to be in the music industry, a rapper, a producer, a singer, an actor, you name it. So what he does is he targets women and gets them to fall for him based off of his looks and good sex. The problem
that's
is
you, Bill.
That's me.
Right now.
That's me.
The problem is most of the women he targets, he's not fully attracted to them, but they see him as such an upgrade that they will give him a place to stay, food to eat, a car to drive, things of that nature. But this is the guy that does cheat on her regularly, and this is the guy who a lot of women don't notice, but will fake an orgasm with a woman in a heartbeat. And yes, ladies, men do fake orgasms.
That is me all over. It's like you're reading my resume.
All right, but now, so there are these men that you want to avoid, but what if this man, any of these six types, meet the women that, I mean, all of a sudden they meet someone that is their soulmate and that they can change, can't they? Or am I completely naive?
No, these men can change. See, here's the thing. All men, we know, especially if we're not 18 or 16, we know what a woman wants and what she doesn't want. We know how to be faithful. We know how to call when we're supposed to call. We know how to be caring and attentive. Men simply decide who they want to treat right and who they want to treat wrong. It's really that simple. The problem is women try to complicate men's behavior. It's very black and white. I told a young lady today who kept making excuses for this man's excuses, saying that, oh, he's working, he's busy, that's why he can't call her after 3 weeks. And I simply told her, do you think if he was dating the singer Beyonce Knowles, do you think he would not call her for 3 weeks? And that's when it finally hit her.
Because that's totally true.
Colin, you know what's amazing is, and I take this from my own friends' experiences and some of my wife's as well on the female side, is that you tend to make the same mistakes and date the same type over and over again.
Absolutely.
Why don't we learn from that?
Well, there's a theory that we have in psychology that you date who you are. So if you are dating because you have your own insecurities, then that lets me know that the man you're looking for has to be a certain attractive level. So the more attractive the guy is, the deeper her own insecurities are. But what women don't understand, and men too, is that if the unhealthy version of yourself is driving the car in your dating life, only another unhealthy man is going to get in the car. And that's why you're dealing with all this craziness and this up and down. Because finding love isn't hard. It's just hard when you keep giving your heart to the wrong type of man.
Well, talk about, you know, jumping in the car. It took the guy I'm married to now, my only husband, to have a car and a job at the same time. I thought, this is the first time this has happened. I better marry him.
This is the guy.
He hates that joke, but it's kind of really true.
Yeah.
Colin Tate on the line with us. We're going to take a quick little break here and find out about online dating and things like that. The book is called Is This Your Man? Are you ready to continue, baby boy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
There are single men and women everywhere. There are all these apps that you can hook up with people.
Mm-hmm.
And people are doing it on Facebook, too. We're talking to Colin Tate. He's written this book, Is This Your Man? Available where better books are sold. Do you have a website where you can also get it, Colin?
Absolutely. Simply isthisyourman.com. And they can get it hard copy Amazon, Kindle, iTunes, or Nook.
Okay, and I mentioned apps and social media. Are people cheating around on Facebook?
Absolutely. There's a trick that I learned from one of the men. He was caught red-handed cheating on his girlfriend, and he told me about a Facebook trick that he learned from another man, And it basically was when he was out with his current girlfriend trying to plead her to take him back, what he did was he created a fake Facebook profile in the image of the girl that he cheated on with. And so what he did was, while he was out on a date with his current girlfriend trying to win her back and convince her that this other girl was a liar, he was going to the fake page and sending messages to his real page saying, I'm so glad me and my man are out right now. We're at the movies. And then he turned around and said, look, this young lady is psychotic. She's lying and saying I'm with her right now. But it was really him behind the whole thing.
Wow.
What was
That's involved.
That is involved. It's just too much effort. It is. It's really hard to lie. Well,
on Facebook, all you have to do is hit that poke button if you want to cheat, right? Isn't that what that's for?
That's funny, baby boy.
That's hurtful. Colin, that's hurtful. You're going to be a witness in our courts. Courts.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Whatever.
Absolutely. I got your back.
All right. Finally, I just want to know what inspired you to write this book. Were you one of these six people and you wanted to find out if someone else was like you or you wanted to help people? What's the inspiration?
Well, the thing, I work with a lot of women and I do a lot of counseling in my profession, and I was just frustrated because I thought I knew it all in my early 20s, but I started realizing when I just didn't really know much about online dating that there are multiple men that have their own areas of manipulation. So that's when I sought out to research who these men were that are frustrating and playing these women and go directly to the source. It took 5 years to get these men to come forward. I had to sign confidentiality agreements. One of the men actually plays professional baseball. I can't even mention what team. So it took a lot to get this book off the ground. So, but that was my main motivation, so women can hear it from the men's mouth. Because once these men knew that the information would not get back to them, they were completely honest.
And which one of the six do you think you were before you got married and changed your life?
The ladies, you have to read the book to find out what happened.
Good one.
I know what he's doing. Colin, I bet if you wanted to, after this book was done, Is This Your Man, you could probably write a sequel, Is This Your Woman, and do the exact same thing, but flip it, couldn't you?
You know, I've had that mentioned to me a lot, but, you know, the men, we think we know it all already.
Yeah.
We think we need advice about women. We may just go to our friend next door. We're not going to spend any money.
All right.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good
There's
point.
There's something to that, sure.
Thank you so much, Colin. It was a pleasure to meet you. Real Men Telling Real Stories about How They Play Women. Is This Your Man? You can get it at Amazon and go to isthisyourman.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Take care, Colin. Colin Tate, again, that book is called Is This Your Man? As you pointed out, Wendy, it's sold wherever better books are sold.
Okay, baby boy.
They always say that. There's also some bookstores with really lousy books. You could probably find it there, too, if you set your mind to it.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about
that
anymore.
No, you're supposed to say that. But
you know. Like when you're talking about, like, a restaurant will advertise fresh seafood. No, you know what? I want the rancid stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's just kind of stupid.
I know. But you have to. All right, here's our game plan now. We'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then more show. All right, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.
You know, Bill, we were talking to Colin Tate. He was talking about some of the types of men that women should avoid dating. And the baby boy was one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I called you that.
Yeah, that was
But
hurtful.
It's like a guy who won't grow up. It's kind of the Peter Pan-like syndrome,
sure.
Which you are very much like.
Yeah.
And which my husband Jimmy Mack is much like as well.
Is
that's
that
a
right?
compliment, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think so. I think
that's
so.
A
it
huge
is.
Compliment.
I think it's important to stay young. Time is relative.
Yes.
And we all get older every day. There's nothing we can do about it.
Is that something Yoda would say?
Yes. But he would have said every day older we get.
Yeah. He said things out of order, like Ed Farmer does when he's doing a White Sox game. 3 runs on 5 hits have the White Sox.
Leave Ed Farmer alone. I love that guy.
I do too.
All right. Jimmy Mack is here. You are one of the hosts of Rebel Force Radio, which is featured on WGNplus.com. And you have been to this Joliet Star Wars Days before. This is the 7th annual Star Wars Day. It's happening this Saturday. And you're going to be doing Rebel Force Radio live in action.
Yeah, we're going to be out there from 1 till 2:30. We'll be doing a live podcast, streaming live on WGN Plus and at RebelForceRadio.com. And we're going to be on the second floor of the amazing Joliet Public Library. This building is incredible. It's one of those, you know, classic libraries that like
with books in it
there's books yeah but I mean it's not like a real modern thing. It's a really cool looking piece of
throwback kind of thing.
Yes definitely. I think it was because it was built in an era long ago,
yeah,
like Star Wars.
Yeah,
a long time
similar,
ago,
a long time
far,
ago.
Far away. So we'll be up there and we'll be talking to the various dignitaries, notable Star Wars personalities, authors, artists. And we'll be up there bringing it to everyone who can't be there, leaving no fan behind, which is our motto.
Very
and,
nice of you.
You know, it's all thanks to Heritage Quarter
Convention and Visitors Bureau at Heritage Quarter, CVB.com. They're the muscle. They provide the muscle behind this event, the 7th Annual Joliet Star Wars Day at the Joliet Public Library. It's incredible. They shut down.
Yeah, you've been to this before, not working it, but been there.
Just as a fan. Mm-hmm. They shut down downtown Joliet. They're expecting about 10,000 Star Wars fans. You'll never be in an atmosphere where you'll be around more costumed characters.
Sure.
Because there's going to be like six different costume groups there.
Yeah.
And there's
what is the breakdown on the six different costume groups? Why so many?
Okay, well, you know, they all have specialties.
Yeah.
You have the incredible 501st Legion, which is
Stormtroopers. Kind of sexy, in my opinion.
They're like the grandfather of all Star Wars costuming groups. And these guys, they're everywhere, worldwide, and they do a lot of great things for hospitals and charities, and
even though the stormtroopers themselves often did bad things, these guys do good.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Yes, wow. That is very ironic.
Yeah,
nothing like Darth Vader walking in to cheer up a young child's
right.
life. So
sure,
but unless that kid's name is Luke,
right?
Sure. But you know, it's a really incredible event, and you also have then the Rebel Legion, mm-hmm. which they dress like the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
You have the my friends, the Mandalorian mashups, which these guys are incredible. You know the character Boba Fett,
of
course.
Yeah.
Boba Fett. No, no.
What's
those
that weird
are the
table
Mandalorian
in the corner?
Smash-ups.
Oh.
And that consisted of my dad and his buddies.
Oh.
The Mandalorian mashups, they have a Boba Fett-type armor. You know Boba Fett, iconic
yeah.
Star Wars character, Boba Fett.
The
Wendy.
Most colorful
yeah, green
of
helmet.
Anybody in the Star Wars universe,
yes.
you could say.
Well, these guys do incredibly creative things with the Boba Fett armor. Like, they'll paint it in Blackhawks colors,
yeah.
and they'll have Blackhawks Fett.
Uh-huh.
Or Eddie Van Halen colors, and you'll have Van Halen Fett. It's really crazy.
Van Halen
you'll have,
Fett.
You'll have, you know, or a Batman Boba Fett mashup.
Oh, that's
they go
cool.
into the
yeah.
comic
They have cubs, they have socks, they have all these Fets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so and then there's other costume groups, too. I don't claim to know them all, and nor am I a costumer. A lot of people
right.
get confused by that. They think all Star Wars fans
dress up, but that's not true.
That's
huh?
hardly the truth
all right.
at all. All right. But there's going to be plenty of people doing that this weekend in Joliet,
yeah.
which makes for great photo ops. You go there, you have your iPhone out the whole time.
Right.
You take the family. There's games for the kids. There's food. There's music, presentations, lightsaber training.
Yeah.
You name it. And I mean, it's really cool to see how Heritage Corridor and the city of Joliet have embraced the franchise so much and really have turned it into a huge celebration that brings people from all over the Midwest.
And it's Joliet because in the last movie, Wendy, you know this, The Force Awakens, it took place in Joliet.
Yeah,
it?
As a matter of fact, that was where Daisy Ridley's character Rey was from.
Was from
Joliet,
Joliet
originally,
Joliet
yes.
Yeah.
Big fan of the Joliet Slammers.
Right. Big fan. Sure.
Yes.
Sure. I'll go on.
I was just going to say, you better bring a couple of shirts. It's supposed to be warm out, and you walked from the train and just grabbed a shirt out of our office and changed into it.
Let me tell you something. The Cubs must be in town playing a day game
today.
They are.
Yes.
Because for some reason, I guess it's law in Naperville that every teenager then has to get on board the Metro and come downtown.
Yeah.
So I was surrounded. It was the loudest train car I was ever on in my life. And I spent the entire walk from Union Station to Michigan Avenue dodging and weaving teenage kids
yeah.
who came from the suburbs to see the Cubs game.
They're also going to the beach, too.
There's a lot
unless
of that
they
too.
Were wearing the Cubby blue, which you're wearing
yes.
right now.
Yeah, well, I'm wearing WGN colors.
But you know what I found, Jimmy? If you tell them you're one of the Mandalorian mashups, they'll leave you alone. They're very yeah. polite to you.
I think there
that.
Is a Chicago Cubs Mando mashup. So.
Is it because, you know, there was the movie over the winter, the last Star Wars movie, and there's more coming. That's renewed the interest, right? More people are going to come out because of the new movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The mainstream interest in Star Wars is just off the charts right,
right
now.
Yeah.
And
although now I keep reading, and you'll know more about this than me, this new standalone movie, Rogue One,
yes.
they keep saying is in some sort of trouble, that the rushes aren't good, they have to reshoot scenes. Is any of that true?
Well, I'll tell you what. I believe that they had the intention of creating a grittier, darker Star Wars
yeah.
war film. Like, take Saving Private Ryan and put it in the Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah.
And make it adult and tough. And but then The Force Awakens came out. J.J. Abrams, he hit on a good formula for Star Wars. Obviously, critics loved it, fans loved it, and the bottom line, the box office was there.
Yeah.
So the Disney execs now believe in that formula. And Gareth Edwards, the director, had basically turned in a gritty war film like Black Hawk Down type stuff.
Right. That gritty?
Set in the Star Wars universe. Yes. And the Disney execs have seen it and they decided that they wanted to sort of fit the mold a little more.
Lighten it up a little.
You know, because it worked so well with J.J. Abrams and The Force Awakens. Why take a left turn and drive the bus down a dirt road when you have this perfectly paved highway ahead of you?
Sure,
so they want to stay on the road and they're going to then be making tweaks. And
like funny sound effects and
stuff? It's going to be extensive. The reshoots for Rogue One happening this
funny
summer.
Funny sound effects.
Yeah, boing, 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 boing. If you throw that in, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
People love that.
That's going to lighten it up a bit.
You'll see. Boing, 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 boing.
All right, so what else do we have to know? Joliet Public Library is the place to be. It's the 7th annual Star Wars Day, and it's happening tomorrow, June 4th.
Starting at 11 with a parade in downtown Joliet.
I thought there was a parade.
It's fantastic. It is just such an amazing event. The energy is always so great. Mm-hmm. We'll be on the second floor of the library with Rebel Force Radio starting at 1 o'clock, and we'll be over by the artists and authors and everyone.
Yeah.
And so it's a nice area with heavy traffic flow.
Does it cost money to get in this?
This event is 100% free.
Oh, that's better.
It's great for families.
Right.
It's great for all ages.
And there's a lot of memorabilia and things to buy, too,
Absolutely. There's actually
souvenirs. Good.
Vendors are there.
Excellent.
And there's so much to do. And so it stretches from the public library down to the Joliet Museum.
Yeah.
The historical museum.
I'm just looking at who's going to be there. There's Antique Arts and Crafts, R2-D2 Builders Club.
Yeah, that's a subsection of fandom. These guys are really talented technicians who actually build their own R2-D2s and work with remote control. And they do such a good job that they were hired by Lucasfilm to actually create the R2-D2 we saw in The Force Awakens. Members of the R2 Builders group. I'm not saying the guys out in Joliet are those same guys.
Members of the club.
But they're part of that group.
All right. Well, I would be there, but I have my little pet parade in LaGrange going on. Again, Star Wars interferes with my life as I'm going to be a Grand Marshal. Mm-hmm. But you got your own thing. And
she said Grand Moff.
I heard her say that.
And you guys are broadcasting. It'll be on the stream, WGNplus.com. It says from 1 to 3.
Well, we have committed 1 to 2:30, but because we always run long, let's just say we'll probably be there till 3.
So. Yeah.
And it says you will be broadcasting your fast-paced, fun, and informative Rebel Force Radio.
Does it say anything about the fire breathing?
No.
No.
Offering the best in Star Wars news and commentary.
Chainsaw juggling?
Do you?
You don't have that, no.
With your partner, Jason Swank, he's going to be with you?
Breakdancing. Actually, Jason will be joining us via the magic of the internet, He is in the Cleveland area and couldn't make it down for this one.
All right, comic books, cosplay. What are you wearing tomorrow? Are you dressing?
As I said, I am not a
Dressed like your own
guy.
Self.
I used to wear those old Ben Cooper costumes.
Oh, yeah, the Halloween
the 70s,
ones. Those are nice.
Yeah, and it would have the rubber band mask.
Right.
And you put that on. And
I don't know what
somebody
you're talking about.
It would pull the mask by the eye holes right there. They just pull it and let go, and it would snap against your
face. This was the Halloween costumes that were Star Wars-y?
Yeah, yeah.
They were great because you get the mask, the Ben Cooper mask, and then a vest, a vinyl vest, that also had a picture. Like Darth Vader, as you know, would always wear a vinyl vest with his own picture on it.
Yeah. It wasn't a very accurate representation. It was almost as if you were saying, I am on Team Vader at that point.
Right.
But we said it loud and said it proud. It was the 70s. We were getting our freak flag on. Plus, we were wearing capes.
Yeah.
So that was always
cool. Can't
beat
that.
I saw someone walking down the middle of Michigan Avenue today, and he had a crown on, and he had a red velvet cape.
Mm-hmm.
Was that normal?
That's normal, sure.
Rahm Emanuel, I believe.
No, it wasn't.
No? It wasn't Mayor Rahm?
Jimmy Mack, join him tomorrow, 7th Annual Star Wars Day, Saturday, June 4th. The whole event parades everything from 11 to 4. The podcast, Rebel Force Radio, from 1 to 3. All the information can be found at heritagecorridorcvb.com. Also, rebelforceradio.com.
Absolutely. Save the Lucas Museum. We have to keep the Lucas Museum here in Chicago. We cannot let this opportunity to have an amazing cultural institution built on the museum campus where it belongs.
He's going Hochberg on us.
I know you are going Hochberg.
Full
but
metal Hochberg.
You keep saying this. What is there to do? It's now. Aren't we waiting for some kind of judgment of whether or not this is going to go to court?
Yeah, it's actually going through the appeals right now. And
Jimmy, get all these guys dressed like stormtroopers to march over to the Friends of the Zoo headquarters.
Friends of the Park.
Friends of the Park. And Friends of the Zoo. And just scare them. If they look out, they'll do that thing where they peek. They just open the drapes a little bit, and they see 80 guys dressed like stormtroopers. They might see things your way.
We have gone out there. There has been a public outcry. People of Chicago want the museum. Yep. And so we have had a few rallies out at the Friends of the Park.
And there are people that don't, too, which I don't understand why you wouldn't. I think it'd be a great addition to the city. And it's at the museum campus. That's where it should be.
The people who think logically and progressively want the museum in town. The people who think politically and vindictively, they're the ones who don't want it.
There are people who, whenever you come on and go Hochberg on us, there are people that text that you guys live in the suburbs, we don't want it here. And there are a bunch of people who do not want it. Bill Curtis, why don't you interview him?
Bill Curtis
on Rebel Force Radio. I know.
He wants it in Chicago. Right. There are so many proponents for this museum.
You and Bill Curtis and Rahm Emanuel.
That's a crew right there.
There's a video online, Jimmy, of Bill Curtis at a department store. He went in and he bought a Chewbacca mask, and he's laughing like a maniac. Have you seen this video? It's insane.
Did you, by the way, and I ask you, Jimmy Mack's still here, but I have to ask you, Bill, is it Frank Caliendo, Jim?
Yeah.
He did his version of the Chewbacca mask, but it is... he's as Trump.
As Trump.
And I'm not spoiling anything, but you should look it up. It's really funny.
I'd love to see that. All right.
He does a pretty decent Donald Trump.
Yeah, but I do want to see that Bill Curtis video.
Oh, it's hysterical.
I'm Bill Curtis.
Right.
All right. Heritage Corridor CVB as in boy.com. Jimmy Mack, part of Rebel Force Radio. All the fun and action going on in Joliet at the Joliet Public Library tomorrow from 11 to 4. Your podcast from 1 to 3.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks to Heritage Corridor, the Joliet Public Library, the City of Joliet, and of course, WGN Plus.
Thank you, Jimmy. May the force be to your liking. Is that the phrase? I think I got the phrase wrong. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, it's us. It's Bill Leffin and it's Wendy Snyder. We only have a little bit of time before Ro and Anna come in and tell us what's coming up on their show. But Wendy, I've kept this private for too long, and I can't keep it private anymore. I'm broken up. I'm beside myself. I'm very upset about the breakup of Taylor Swift and her boyfriend, Calvin Harris. I'm very upset about this.
Can I tell you, I love her. I don't want to like her. I just thought, where did she come to us from?
Well, she's from Earth. She's from
Earth. I know she's from Earth. Was she on American Idol or something?
No.
Where did we first hear of her?
She was an opening act. I'm trying to remember who she was the opening act for, but she wrote a song about some other country singer, and then they had her on as the opening act. I can't think of who it was, but then all of a sudden people are like, well, she's just way too good to just be an opening act. And she was only like 16 at the time.
A stellar performance at the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville helped Swift get a contract with Scott Borchetta's Big Machine Records. Her first single, Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw. That's it exactly.
All right. Well, that was genius of her to write a song about Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
She is adorable. And,
why don't you want to like her?
I just, it was kind of like, poppy country. And I really like her voice. Yeah. I really like her. I think she's adorable. And I am with you. I don't know why she can't keep a man.
It's the weirdest thing. She's been in the public eye for about 7 years now, 7, 8 years. In that time, she's dated so many guys, mostly celebrities, but not entirely celebrities. And one after another, after another, after another, these relationships just break up. And I can't figure out why, because you look at her and you go, okay, incredibly talented, very attractive. Everything seems to be going her way. Very intelligent girl. And yet time after time after time, it's a breakup. So what is not working for her? What is she not doing right?
She's doing everything right.
You think it's the guys?
Yeah.
But doesn't it fall into that bracket of, how do I say this? I know a couple people who have been married several times. Like, I have a friend who's been married 4 times. And at first...
Did he get it right yet?
No, he can't get it right. And at first, like, I would be on his side and go, well, yeah, it's that first wife's fault. Or, yeah, that second wife, not quite right. But once you get into the threes and fours and fives, you go, no, it's got to be you.
It is, no. It
you
is,
don't think
look
so?
At Joe Jonas, ego. Taylor Lautner, ego. John Mayer, fish lips.
Yes, ego, fish lips. Those is that
Jake
the pattern?
Jake Gyllenhaal,
What's his problem?
He's got his career to worry about.
Well, every one of these have a career
Connor
to worry about.
Connor Kennedy, the grandson of Robert Kennedy.
Yeah.
A Kennedy. That's all
That's
I have to say.
That's all you need to say on that one.
Harry Styles.
Right. From One Direction.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, that was a poor matchup. And right. Calvin Harris, who I have to tell you I don't really know much about, but then I heard this song and I realized we know him.
Yeah.
Can't be sleeping. Don't we use this in the Blackhawk promo commercials a lot?
Yeah, that's where you've heard
that's
this.
The only one. I'm like, oh, the Blackhawk guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, Calvin, although this relationship,
they were together for 15 months, which is in Taylor Swift time, that's almost a decade.
The dating rumors started when the two were seen being affectionate towards each other at a Kenny Chesney concert in Nashville. See, Nashville's all the rage.
It is, yeah.
But now, I don't know what it is.
My heart goes out to both of them. I don't know what she's doing wrong. Eventually, she'll find the right guy.
But I don't think she cares. I think she's just into looking for hit songs, and that means there's going to be another one.
Well, she does. Like, her pattern is after she breaks up with these guys, she writes an album about the breakup.
That's why these guys dump her. They want to be featured in a song.
In a song or two?
I got Taylor Swift to sing a song about me. How about that?
All right. You might be onto something. We'll take a quick break. Ro and Ann will be in just a minute or two and find out what's coming up on their show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.